and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
This is the Stephanie Miller Show. Is that hot enough for you? I'm John Kiebelsang. Good morning, children, and welcome. Stephanie is still on her richly deserved vacation. But she did write me yesterday to tell me to say hi to all y'all. I'm John Fuglesang. I'll be filling in all week in spite of overwhelming popular demand and a very conspicuous hunger strike by all four members of U2. Sorry, it didn't work. I'm here. And we're taking your calls all morning at 800-STEPH-12. Tony Sorrentino on the board as always, and I'm so excited, and it's getting increasingly harder to hide it because, do we have his jingle ready? We're getting the jingle ready. I'm so thrilled about this. I've been a fan of this man for a very long time. I've enjoyed him in TV and films. I've loved him as a stand-up. And now I'm very happy that he's been joining us on the Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour, slaying audiences around the country. The man killed in Phoenix. The man killed in Fort Lauderdale. He's going to come with us to kill people in Madison. It's a bloodbath. He's Vlad the Comedian. Of course, I'm talking about the man who is too big for any one jingle, Carlos Ellis-Rocky.
Good morning, John. Blink a blink a blink blink. A blink a blink 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 a blink a blink blink, the richest guy. Blink a blink a blink blink. I'll take an espresso. Blink a blink a blink blink.
You can't find it.
It's coffee with Carlos.
It's called coffee with Carlos. It's called coffee with Carlos.
It's okay. I don't know.
Sorry. No. It's worth it. I had to burn this onto music to play as his intro music at the shows.
I should have a show visit.
Here we go.
That's good coffee.
I think it's
I was pretend you haven't spoken yet.
Carlos sells Rocky.
I have a Zimbabwe latte. I'll have a Kenya cappuccino.
He never has a second cup of coffee at home.
Mountain grown coffee.
Carlos sells Rocky.
I was going to make espresso.
And baked by Juan Valdez.
Coffee with Carlos.
Good to the last drop.
Juan Valdez. It's nice to know that your coffee was picked by underpaid Latino workers in Colombia.
Isn't it great to know?
Yeah.
It's cultural and stuff.
It is cultural. I prefer my Kirkland 5-hour energy shot because I have two kids now.
That's terrific. I actually have I tried having two 5-hour energy shots to get 10 hours of energy. It actually just gave me 2.5 hours of being a jaw grinding D-bag. Didn't really work for me. But it's great to have you here for the full 3 hours, Carlos.
Yeah, you're welcome. I wanted to get up, you know, show the love. We've had fun on the tour.
Yeah, well,
nice to see the people. Hey. And I need to, you know, I need to get educated from you because my stand-up is just all farts and crap and giggles. And, no, it's very, I'm very proud that, you know, they asked somebody to follow John Fuglesang, and I take the sword. I'd like to see anybody else do it. That's all I'm saying.
What Carlos is referring to is that on the Sexy Liberal Tour, which is sold out in Madison, but there are tickets available for the April 26th show at the Chicago Theater, I open the show. I come out and do the opening act, and then Carlos comes out, and then Stephanie, then all of us join on stage together, and then the nudity happens, and then the audience is allowed to take the psilocybin mushrooms we tape below their seats before the show begins.
Absolutely.
It's a beautiful thing. It's great to have you here. It's quite a week. I want to start off by giving some props to the Today Show for having the guts to book Dottie Sandusky to come on and call rape victims liars. That was great to see.
Wow.
Yeah. It turns out they're only in it for the money, and they all concocted this conspiracy against her innocent, wrongly jailed husband because they wanted money. Because I don't know if you know this, Carlos, but all the money, all the money is in lying about rape.
Yeah. And
for men. And it's good for men. Men like to do this. Men like to lie and say they were raped as boys to get money.
I guess the Penn State coach that I witnessed those events in the shower is prepaid.
Exactly right.
By the rape victims themselves. I'm going to go get raped in the shower. Here's $50.
Mm-hmm.
Just say you saw something. $50? Why, that sounds like a great deal and a good business to start up.
That's the Penn State football industry. See no evil, hear no evil, and evil.
The level of denial of the college sports, and here, we can segue into that whole college sports power grab program where basically they're using free labor for their product.
Yes.
Everybody who loves capitalism hates the fact if you protest the NCAA using they're getting an education. Once one of them can, you know, once 60% of the players on Alabama can finish and complete a report on Cat in the Hat, I will agree that they're getting an education. They're not going to class. And thank God for Mark Cuban, as offensive as he can be, he is at least a prominent person, other than Frank Broyles years ago, speaking up to pay the athletes. The thing with Power and Sandusky that I wanted to segue to is that you have a guy like Nick Saban from Alabama, who, because he recruits these big, gigantic players, gets the best recruits anywhere, and they're fat and they can't play the more than, you know, probably four plays in a row and need to be substituted. He wants to literally change the rules to stop offenses from playing the hurry-up offensive game. They have to have added 10 seconds to allow because of quote-unquote player safety. This is a guy that wants to bend the rules to sustain his championship level of coaching. It's insane how much protection there is.
But it's good for education, right? It's good for education, right?
It's absolutely great to pay Nick Saban $7 million a year and not pay the athlete to win him the game.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, Nick Saban, if you are the best coach in the country, why don't you go to a Division III school in Southern California, get their athletes, and see if you can win a championship? Why don't you get a team full of athletes that can complete that aforementioned book report on Cat in the Hat? You would probably go 1-12.
See, and here I was just trying to make fun of the Today Show for putting on Dottie Sandusky for ratings bait.
There, and this is what it led to. The power at the college level is worse than the Catholic Church.
Oh, you think?
It's worse. I'm
Whoa.
Telling you it's worse.
Hey,
Nick, Catholic,
that's a more recent phenomenon.
You could attack an archbishop of any diocese and probably get away. You attack Nick Saban and, you know, that's, you're done. You're dead. It's over.
Wow. Well,
in other words, my career is over.
Yes,
can't go to Alabama.
You're done now. We've
I can't go to Auburn. They're hated rivals. They're hated rivals, though.
Okay, well, Carlos Alazraki will not be joining us in Madison, Wisconsin, because the NCAA is out to get him. But,
that's right.
But I want to know what people think about this, obviously, because this story doesn't seem to go away, and in a way, I'm glad it doesn't. And I don't want to belabor the point too much, but I do take a lot of heart from the fact that it's never been harder for a predator to get away with interfering with a child than it is today.
Yeah.
And it is because of the media covering stories like this, and it is because survivors, we do not call them victims, survivors are speaking out about what happened to them, and because of it, children understand more, the culture understands more, we're not tolerating it as much. By we, I don't mean the Vatican. And it's never been harder for someone who interferes with a kid to get away with it than it is today. And that makes me proud to be an American, and it makes me proud of my species.
Yeah, and ironically, or I don't know if it's the word is ironically, this was something that was spotted by an eyewitness. It wasn't a security camera. It wasn't having to wait several years later, although more survivors do come out and say, you know what, since it is okay to come out. And oddly, it's not a crime reported by, it's not a crime where it's just children who are not believed. It's grown up women who are not believed when they come forward. And so that's why it is important for adults as well as children to
I think
to come
so
forward.
As well. I think so as well. And, you know, I mean, the real story of today is the Florida special election.
I think Jolly and Sink.
Jolly and Sink. And, you know, the real question that I want to ask the Steph heads today and that we're going to try and touch upon for the next 3 hours is, what does this say that Alex Sink outspent her Republican opponent in a district where Obama won and still lost? The Democratic Party has put out a very interesting memo saying the news might not be as bleak as you'd think. They point out that despite spending millions to salvage a district they've held for six decades, Republicans underperformed because the only message they offered voters, repealing Obamacare, is out of touch and failed to bring them close to their historically wide margins, and that it doesn't reflect the general election landscape Democrats are going to face in November. And it tilted heavily Republican because it was an extremely low turnout special election.
Right.
And it had a 13-point party ID advantage for Republicans. However, and they also point out in 2006, Democrats lost every competitive special election but picked up seats.
Right.
They make some good points, but the fact is this relates directly to CPAC. We were joking a lot about how goofy CPAC was, and we'll continue to do so today because we're patriots. But the left, the Democratic Party, whatever you want to call them, has no equivalent. The Democrats are talking about 2016 and how unbeatable Hillary Clinton's going to be. Well, guess what? If you like obstruction, stick around for the sequel, because the GOP is working on winning 2014, and I don't know what the Democrats are planning to do to make 2014 more competitive. I don't think the GOP can take back the Senate, but it certainly seems like they're going to be taking a lot more House seats.
Yeah, it's like fighting for first-class seat when Coach has all the power.
Well, that's my question for the day, and I want to ask this, and I'll ask it every hour for all the Steph heads, and I want all y'all to call in to talk to me and Carlos. We have some other great guests, too. British comedian Matt Kirshen will be joining us later, but and Frank Conniff is going to be calling in from New York City,
Bill Frank,
where he lives in my apartment, my old apartment. Frank is I'm now Frank's landlord.
Yeah,
he's TV's Frank.
You're moving center right.
My apartment's Frank. How can Democrats win in a midterm election year, unless it's Bush's second term. You know, the GOP is wrong on the issues. They're out of step with most Americans. Joe Biden movingly spoke a few weeks ago to the Democratic senators about how they do represent the point of view of the average American. We see that the amount of uninsured Americans is going down more and more. The ACA is slowly beginning to help people, but not fast enough to convince the electorate by November, perhaps. So how can the Democrats win the midterms this year? How can they pick up seats? How can they get people to show up and vote as effortlessly as the Republicans do with their 24-hour propaganda network and fear? But also, is ACA support going to hurt Democrats this year?
Yeah. I know. Souls to the polls in Ohio. Whoops. No, ACA it quite possibly could, although, you know, somebody was saying, where's Politico? I was watching the Ed show, and one of the tweets was, where is PolitiFact on this commercial that they had where the woman claimed that she was paying higher premiums? And then, no, somebody else did the research and said, no, you are, in fact, paying lower premiums per month. And even if you are paying higher premiums, you don't have a junk insurance policy.
Mm-hmm.
If you get hurt or catastrophically injured, you will actually have coverage.
Yes.
So the right, or the CPAC, focuses on, you might be paying a higher premium for a piece of crap policy.
Well, exactly.
A lower premium for a piece of crap policy.
But see, it takes us about 20 seconds to explain that, and it takes Fox News about 5 seconds to have a soundbite that Obamacare doesn't work and it's failing, and here's this lady, and we're going to give you part of the story, and you're not going to be watching MSNBC when they debunk the story. Fox News doesn't report when they're proven wrong.
Yeah, it's like having a really nice hotel next to a crappy hotel, but the crappy hotel, i.e. the Republicans, advertises free HBO. Free HBO, I'm going to stay at the crappy hotel.
Yeah, free
you
stuff.
Vote against your best interest, mm-hmm. you know, in all cases. You
but
know.
But again, as the Democratic Party memo points out today, all the Republicans have this year, they're not promising anything. They're not offering anything. What are they offering? Poor people, they'll promise poor people that they'll protect the estate tax?
Yeah.
I mean, what are they offering? They're offering a repeal of Obamacare, which they will never do. They will never repeal Obamacare. It's not going to happen. Even if they took the White House, they wouldn't be able to repeal it. If they took the White House, House, and Senate, they probably wouldn't be able to repeal it.
Yeah.
And who's going to be the person to say, we're bringing back pre-existing conditions for your sick child?
Maybe that is the advertising platform on which the Democrats should jump. And all the people who are making these spots should advertise just that.
Mm-hmm.
They are trying to use fear. They are trying to take away your pre-existing conditions. That's the fear that we need to use.
They're trying to bring back pre-existing conditions, you mean?
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, hope is nice, but fear is effective.
Fear sells.
And, you know, the problem is the administration's had a tough time painting the reality that insurance companies are the bad guys here. I'm sorry, but they keep raising premiums, and people are encouraged by Fox News to blame Obama, never to blame your insurance company. And the fact is that culturally, we're the only society that has this system, where a middleman, a bureaucrat, gets rich off of your disease, and he's not a doctor. He's the guy in between you and the doctor. Insurance companies like the church usher, who welcomes you in and says, like, you want to talk to God? Talk to me. Come on down. I'll put you in a pew.
Yeah.
That little bit of power that corrupts the mind. What we're seeing more and more is that people are starting to wake up to the fact that no other country that has single-payer health insurance, which is all of our capitalist allies, no one else is dropping that kind of system to adopt a system like we have where corporations can make money off the sick.
Absolutely. And if you can argue with a doctor who said, hey, I got in this business to make money, I would say check the oath that you took. I don't think that's in your oath to make the most possible cash. I understand it. You probably work hard and you went to education.
Absolutely.
You got to pay bills and you do deserve it. But it is not part of the oath of why you got into your profession. And I said this last week and reiterating people that this point that I need to keep my doctor. They'll make you change your doctor. Okay, you're a Kentucky coal miner that has black lung. Good for you. You keep the doctor of your choice for him or her to tell you you're going to die and your insurance won't cover it. But at least it was the doctor of your choice.
But keep in mind, a public option or some form of Medicare for all that was open to anybody wouldn't make doctors poor. People with money will still be able to afford more care and better care
yes.
than people on a public option
exactly.
because the post office is not putting UPS out of business. So
right.
we want to know your thoughts on how the Democrats can win elections this year in the midterm and not get completely shellacked, because the GOP's already, they're on their way, man. They're mobilized. And will the ACA hurt Democrats? And whatever else you want to talk about, because we got Carlos Alazraki. Frank Conniff is going to be joining us later on today, as well as British comedian Matt Kirshen. Whole lot of fun. Stick around. It's 1-800-STEPH-12. We'll be talking to you momentarily on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh, my God, this is so amazing. It's all anybody in my class is talking about.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show.
Now when I hear the song, I just feel like I'm backstage at the Sexy Liberal Show waiting to go on, because this is part of Stephanie's pre-show mix. So if that's the word sexy in it, we play it before the show. And it's a motif is what it is. So when I hear Hot Chocolate now, that's what I think, that I'm in the wings screaming at an audio guy for something before the show starts. Hey, it's the Stephanie Miller Show. I'm John Fugelsang. Good morning to you. It's a pleasure to have you here with us on your radio, through your computer, or through Free Speech TV. And I'd like to say, since the great Carlos Alazraki is joining us for the full 3 hours today, that you happen to be joining us during the pledge drive for Free Speech TV.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah, it is. And it's been a real fun for me as a fan of the channel to talk about it a little bit during the show, because if you're looking for an outlet to get news and information that's not the corporate media, if you want a truly independent voice, there's no more current TV. Maybe you've heard that, folks, out there. And I was thrilled when Free Speech picked up Stephanie, because I think they're very good for each other. I mean, you know, she brings a lot of humor to the channel, and they bring a lot of credibility to us, yeah. which we sorely need. But I go to Free Speech TV to see Tom Hartman, the smartest man in the business.
Yeah.
I go to Free Speech TV for Amy Goodman, Ring of Fire, and now the Stephanie Miller Show. And besides the fact that it's the channel that will make you the smartest person at the water cooler with facts you won't hear on other news networks, even the ones we like very much, it also is it allows you to be part of something. It's a truly grassroots movement, and it's, you know, progressives are only going to be able to make any kind of social change if they stick together. The best part about doing this tour, Carlos, and I think you've probably witnessed this already, mm-hmm. is doing these meet and greets
yeah.
where we get to meet so many great people who are often, you know, blue voters in red states.
Yeah.
People who are very progressive or liberal or anti-evil. And they're often afraid to have an Obama bumper sticker on their car
yeah.
when they go to their job or their church. And to see the sense of community when people realize, oh, my God, I'm not the only sane, moral person. And, you know, go to the Chicago theater and you got 3,000 like-minded people. And we've played in this tour in Texas. We played it all over the South. And Free Speech TV is kind of in the same vein. You are part of something. You're part of the intelligent dialogue. And if you would like to see more shows like this or see shows like this continue, you can always support Free Speech TV by calling Get Your Pens Ready. Well, you can go to freespeech.org or call 877-378-8669 to make a donation and stand with your network, Free Speech TV. That's 877-378-8669.
But then, and I might add that progressive, quote unquote, progressive thought or progressive radio does not necessarily always have to mean from the left or from a Democratic point of view. I obviously have Republican friends that we can discuss facts, we can discuss intelligently the issue of abortion, of gun control,
mm-hmm.
of things like that. And it doesn't necessarily mean that it's all a CPAC type of conversation.
Yeah.
It can, free speech can entitle or encompass both sides of the coin.
Damn right. I think you're exactly right. And, you know, and that's part of what today's theme is. If you're just tuning into the show, we're talking about the Jolly Sink election in Florida's 13th district yesterday, where she actually did very well for a district where Democrats never win.
Yeah.
She lost by less than 2 percentage points, even though they had a 13-point Republican advantage
mm-hmm.
in the polls of who went to the polls yesterday. How can the Democrats win anything in this off election year? How can 2014 help the Democrats instead of just saying we're waiting for Hillary? We want to know your thoughts. Give us a call at 800-STEPH-12. The phones are lighting up. I'm John Fugelsang. We'll be right back after this. Who is this? Who are you playing for me?
88 lines about 44 women. I don't know. I just grabbed it off of.
Oh, this is just random? Okay.
This is just
reminds
stuff.
Me of Live 105.3.
You just grabbed the song randomly, didn't know what it was, and started playing?
It's in their pre-approved.
What if you start hearing, like, white power, white power? What if
what's wrong with that?
said the Latino.
That's right.
It's, by the way, I like the fact that white supremacists tend to be the greatest argument against the concept of white supremacy. Good morning. It's the Stephanie Miller Show. I'm John Fugelsang. Thank you very much for joining us. The great lady is on vacation this week, and we hope she's taking it easy and just enjoying some time by the beach with a few boxes of wine. I'm joined by the brilliant and hilarious Carlos Alazraki. Great to have you here.
Thank you. Good
and we were taking your calls. Today's question of the day is, what can the Democratic Party do to not get shellacked in the 2014 midterms? And the lines are starting to fill up. We will get to all of you, I promise. But first, I want to welcome a guest who's been kind enough to join in. Annabelle Gurwitch is a brilliant comedian and actress and author. Her previous books, Fired, became a documentary for Showtime, which was really, really funny. And her relationship book, I Say Tomato, You Say Shut Up, which she wrote with her husband, the very funny Jeff Kahn, is a very successful play. But her new book really surprised me. Her new book is called I See You Made an Effort, Compliments, Indignities, and Survival Stories from the Edge of 50. And it's getting great reviews. She's a terrific comedic writer. She is more than chick lit. And she joins us now, I think, from the Amtrak train going from New York City to D.C. Annabelle Gurwitch, are you there? Oh, I got to push a button. Sorry, a lot of guys forget to do that. Annabelle, are you there? Good morning.
Hey, good morning. Hey, I am on the train. I'm on my way to meet my my friend Barbara Ehrenreich, you know, who, of course, wrote Nickel and Dime.
Mm-hmm.
Barbara's meeting me at Politics and Prose bookstore tonight in D.C., where we will throw down and talk about middle age and the economy and the graying of America and all these really happy, hilarious things.
I know. I can't handle the sexy. Well, I love Barbara Ehrenreich. I think Nickel and Dime is a book that they should force members of Congress to read. And she was kind enough to do I'm doing a PBS film right now, a sprawling documentary about the American Dream, and she was kind enough to come be interviewed for it. But I got to say, Annabelle, I was really, really the thing that impressed me most about this book, besides that you're gorgeous and hilarious and a great writer, you come from a town, Hollywood, that I'm in right now, where people are often given to lying about their age, but you didn't do it. You came right out there and wrote a book about what it's like being on the edge of 50. Were you at all concerned, and I hear Charlie Brown's teacher in the background, were you at all concerned, Annabelle, about outing your own age? I mean, it's a great fertile ground for comedy.
Okay, so that's a funny question because, you know, at this point in my life, I consider myself Hollywood adjacent. I have worked in show business, but I'm not really in show business because when you're my age, which is now 52, you know, you're not a viable Hollywood product unless you're one of very few people who are major movie stars, because Hollywood is an industry, much like many industries in the United States, that is really, you know, an industry about money and about investing early in very youthful talent that they will build and make money with. And at this point, I have about as much of a chance of getting a job as a deceased former reality star. That's where I land, or a Starbucks barista in a movie. You know, this is where I land in the Hollywood hierarchy. So I'm just not worried about that right now. And I actually feel like this whole, you know, there's this whole pervasive thing in Hollywood and in our culture in general about, you know, the 40 is the new 30, 50 is the new 40, and it's all a canard.
Right.
And it does a disservice, in particular to women who I think get really caught up, and I'm not saying I'm not caught up because I have definitely been caught up in this, you know, in this drumbeat to remain youthful and young, and so it does this disservice to us.
I completely agree. I think if all the women that read Cosmopolitan magazine suddenly felt completely secure with who they are, Cosmo would go out of business. It seems like the entire thing is built on building up insecurities of women, and it seems like there's just so many industries that are designed to tell women that they're inadequate unless they have these products, and it's great to see someone pushing back against it.
And, you know, this is a bunch of bull. I mean, you know, the funny thing is when the book is about many aspects of hitting that middle age mark, and it's everything from becoming invisible to younger people to, I write a lot about, you know, the sandwich generation, and that's what's being called, you know, tail end boomers. You've got who are stretched economically between having kids at home, having aging parents, trying to maintain, you know, an ability to stay employed when the majority of long-term unemployed people are middle-aged. But in terms of the, like, you know, the surface thing of, like, you know, the, these incredible products, their anti-aging products, there's a whole line now of products being marketed to women. They're called cosmeceuticals. This conflates two terms, cosmetics and pharmaceuticals. You know, the FDA
sounds
has
healthy.
Never recognized this as anything true. It, it's complete crap. But, you know, that we get sucked into this, and it's a multi-billion dollar industry, we'd all be better off just applying dollar bills to our faces.
Well, but it's true, but I don't really know how it changes. I mean, I would like to see, you're exactly right that most of the long-term unemployed are folks over 50. You wouldn't know that from watching TV because there are no folks over 50 on TV. And it seems like...
It's like lepers, we must be quarantined. You know, the funny thing is okay, so we know that this is a changing demographic in America, right? So every 7.5 seconds, someone in America turns 50. So I'm actually... scarily enough, a little bit hopeful that we will see some kind of changes, at least in the kind of entertainment that we're seeing. We do have, you know, some really talented people, like look at Edie Falco. She's amazing. She's starring in Nurse Betty, you know, who are, she looks like other humans, other female humans out there. She, you know, she looks like what one person might be able to look like, you know.
Well,
and,
she's beautiful. I mean, I've seen her on stage.
I'm hopeful that we will see things change because someone's going to have to serve this demographic of people who are becoming the majority in America.
Yes.
You've come a long way since Norman Lear, since the Jeffersons, since All in the Family, since
Maude.
Big Time Maude, everybody, those Carol O'Connor, Gene Stapleton, wonderful, great comic actors all over 50.
And you know, not to beat up on Cosmo too much, Annabelle, but I always feel like Cosmo sort of, you know, all men are slime. Here's how you can attract them. And it's all based on, you know, the Cosmo girl thinks this way, dresses this way, does her face this way, votes this way. And you know, we have a choice. You can get older or you can get better. And if you're at peace with yourself, if you can love who you are and just rock your own thing, you don't need all these products. I mean, beauty comes from within. That's a terrible cliche, but it's kind of proven.
This is one of the reasons why I wrote this book, right? Because there are just so many falsehoods out there. Like, okay, so, you know, in promoting this book, I'll have people ask me things like, so tell me, who do you think is aging gracefully? And I'll say, what is this of aging gracefully? Let's retire that phrase. I'm aging with a vengeance.
Lee Merriweather.
Yeah, people ask me, what's your hobby? And I'm like, hobby? Aging well, that's my hobby. But of course...
age, you know, with a sense of humor, aging gracefully. This is ridiculous. I mean, you know, we think these, you know, Clairol commercials from the 70s told us something true when they said, you know, you're not getting older, you're getting better. Well, that's not true. We actually are getting older.
But you can get better too.
Maybe we're getting better, but you know, I really wrote this book because I just wanted to put some of these, you know, these myths and these lies aside. And you know, I do think you have to have a sense of humor about this because look, a sense of humor is the best coping mechanism when you find that you've reached an age where you make like old people sounds when you stand up. It's a little scary.
You can use a euphemism and say we're not getting older; we're just getting closer to God than you are.
Yeah. You know, I do agree with you about the term aging gracefully. However, whenever I'm back in L.A., I'm reminded of the very real phenomena that a lot of people are aging ungracefully. And we live in an era of where you know, plastic surgery disasters are out of control.
This year's Oscars.
Yeah. I mean, Annabelle, you have a story here about how you were sort of manipulated into buying $200 moisturizer in your book.
You know, I say this line in the book, and anyone who will recognize this as the truth. You know, I actually think about the day when the big earthquake finally hits, and we know it will in L.A., and there will be women who are unrecognizable to their own assistants roaming the streets in search of Botox injections. And my new plan so that I can afford retirement is to stockpile injectables in the trunk of my car, which I will sell at inflated prices when the big earthquake hits.
So when we're all dodging zombies, we'll go to your car to get our Botox shots.
The Botoxing dead.
I think it's brilliant. But is that true? Did you really buy $200 moisturizer?
I'm going to admit that I too have been snookered and suckered into it. I'm not immune to these things. I mean, the thing is, like you've got this target on you, particularly when you're a woman. You've got a target which says sell me the dream. The one thing I've never bought is there's a product on the market. I mean, this is how desperate you have to imagine women are, that they make a product that is actually called Hope in a Jar. I mean, that's the last stop on the line before I start making animal sacrifices and voodoo spells to try to stay
down. Got Obama's face in the jar.
Hope. Yes. Yeah, that's pretty grim. But do you encounter more women and men too who are resisting this, who see through the lies and who just decide to age on their own terms and not be driven by fear into buying lots of products they don't need?
I'm not sure I totally heard your question right, but I just want to say, you know, there's so many, you know, ways that this, you know, reaching this age is an important moment to take in, and not just because of, you know, the ridiculous thing. You could spend your entire 401k, if you have one, you know, on these products, but, I mean, this you know, the economics of it, I'm sure you saw the new, you know, research, I mean, a new thing in the New York Times today about growing income inequality. We know this is the biggest thing. And not to be a downer, but, you know, it's a really serious issue because it is expected that the majority of the people in this age group who are getting older will face a retirement in which they will only have $5 a day
exactly.
in their food budget. Mm-hmm. That is, you know, shocking. We are really woefully underfunded and underprepared for the future years. And it's a really vexing issue, and I think one of the most important economic issues facing our country is how we are going to fund for the aging of baby boomers.
Exactly true. And in spite of that horrifying statistic, I want to remind people, it is a very funny book, and you're a very funny writer. Annabel Gurwitch, the book is called I See You Made an Effort, Compliments, Indignities, and Survival Stories from the Edge of 50. This book is worth buying for the cover alone. You've made, I guess, pink granny bloomers iconic with this book. And I salute you, Annabel Gurwitch. Thank you so much for calling us, and I hope that you don't get thrown off the train.
Oh, thanks a lot. Listen, thanks for having me, John.
Such a pleasure. Good luck on the book tour, and can't wait to see you in person. The great Annabel Gurwitch. She's a very funny lady.
It is interesting how in this country that it's perfectly acceptable to cosmetically change yourself, spend thousands of dollars on that, yet if somebody says, I'm going to therapy, there's that stigma of like, what's wrong with you?
Yeah, you're just trying to improve yourself on the inside?
Yeah, just trying to deal with emotions and grow up and become an adult. Yeah. Why don't you just buy makeup?
You want to be fully formed as a human? What are you talking about? There's Botox. Yeah, I actually believe you could open a waterboarding salon for the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills if you told them it was good for the pores. All right, we're going to get back to the Democratic Party and what they got to do to win. And oh my God, the calls are coming in. We want to know, after what happened in Florida yesterday, should they write off 2014, or are they going to start getting organized the way the Republicans already is? It's the Stephanie Miller Show, 1-800-STEPH-12.
You just blew my mind.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
From one of the greatest albums of the early 80s, this would be from Glass Houses. This is Billy Joel with You May Be Right. And guess what happens on May 9th of this year?
Hollywood Bowl.
Less than 2 months from now, Billy Joel turns 65.
Good for him.
Yeah.
He can retire.
Exactly. Well, he sort of has. The guy hasn't released a new album of new pop music in 20 years.
And his special on Shea Stadium, the last concert at Shea with Paul McCartney. With Paul McCartney. He has 11 minutes to get there from the airport, and somehow somebody like that does make it in 11 minutes, but just a wonderful special.
Because Paul McCartney was doing a show in Canada that night in Toronto. I know this because I'm a rock geek, and flew to New York to join Billy Joel on stage. So he did two concerts in two different countries on the same night.
Wow.
That's our Paul.
It's gotta be a record.
And he won 5 Grammys for 4 different bands last month. So hey, rock on. Paul McCartney, up and comer.
He's doing it. And he's over 50.
He's over 70.
And I was going to say, that is an arena where being over 50 is okay if you're male. All these bands that still survive, because they have made their mark when they were under 50.
Yes.
And music appeals to somebody on an emotional level. So we say, we still want to see these people. They still can rock.
The double standard, you know, is very evident in music and in acting, and how, you know, guys who are in bands can age really well. But I would say, you know, Joni Mitchell still puts on a great live show.
Sure.
She sells out wherever she goes. Patti Smith still puts on a great live show. Patti Smith just covered a Rihanna song.
Oh, wow.
Recently. She covered Stay at a live show. If Janis Joplin was alive, I know she'd be selling out gigs.
Yeah. And an Auntie Wilson. from
and Nancy Wilson, who were so fantastic on the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame special. So, you know, I think talent will out. And even if you're a woman over 50 in rock and roll, or in jazz or in pop music, yeah. I think Rihanna's going to be, you know, playing Carnegie Hall when she's 70.
Yeah.
I saw Nina Simone play at the Wiltern Theater. The last time she ever played in L.A., and she came on stage with just a big feather duster in her hand, and she was, God, well over 70, and just beautiful and majestic.
One of the best concerts I ever saw in Sacramento at Club Cantel was Screamin' Jay Hawkins.
Wow. He
was probably in his late 60s. It was awesome.
I saw John Lee Hooker in his late 70s. Actually, the best concert I've ever seen was Leonard Cohen, who's just turned 79. Yeah. So,
hallelujah to that.
So what we're saying is being over 50 won't hurt you if you're a rich, famous rock star. So do that,
yes.
And then you'll be fine. Okay, we're taking your calls now. Let's get back to the politics on this show, because let me tell you something. Everyone's throwing around theories about what happened in Florida yesterday. They're ignoring the fact that Republicans have held on to that congressional seat for six decades, and Alex Sink only lost by less than 2 points.
And he replaced a Republican.
Yes.
He had given up the seat.
Exactly. So yeah. We want to know, even, you know, we're hearing a lot of prophecies of doom. We're hearing some Democrats saying it doesn't matter. But the fact is, the GOP is focusing like a laser on 2014, while Democrats are saying ready for Hillary in 2016. Is the Democratic Party going to be shellacked? And what do you, Steph heads, think they should do to prevent this from happening? 1-800-STEPH-12. Robert is calling us from Florida. Good morning, Robert. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Hey, good morning, gentlemen. I just want to say real fast, real quick, that I was in Fort Lauderdale. I saw you guys. You were great.
Thank you.
Say, John, you made the ride home a little awkward with all that cunnilingus.
That's not technically a bad word, but I do a very political filthy on this leg of the tour, Carlos. I've never done sex material, and I'm asking the audience if they want me to close with politics, religion, or smut. And Fort Lauderdale went for smut.
Surprise.
But it's very political smut, because I talk about how the men of our country aren't doing their duty when it comes to a certain important thing. So go ahead, Robert. What's your
This is the election here in Florida. It's up in Clearwater, which, like you said just now, that's always been a Republican seat, and they only won by 2% of the vote.
Mm-hmm.
And the discovery phase of who this guy actually was wasn't really discovered up until the very, very end.
And a 13-point advantage, according to the polls, for Republicans turning out.
Right. And the other thing is this, is where is Hillary Clinton? Where is anybody who wants to take the reins after this? Where is actually Barack Obama to defend this law of ours? You know,
he's on. What are you talking? He just did Zach Galifianakis's web show. Barack Obama's going out there trying to get people to sign up for it. He's hustling.
Yeah, but you know what? I think if he would have showed up in Tampa, I think it would have brought the attention that this election race was there. You know,
Ukraine going on.
Yeah, I mean, I think.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, even that's him. How about Joe? How about Joe Biden? Doesn't he want to be president? When does he show up?
But you're right.
You know what? I want this bill. I voted for this bill. This is what, you know, this is what we need.
So let me ask you, Robert.
You lead the cause. Yeah, go ahead.
Do you think that support for the Affordable Care Act is going to hurt Democratic incumbents or up-and-coming candidates in 2014? Because, again, it seems the only thing the GOP's got is bashing the ACA. They have no new ideas. They have microwaved Reaganomics. Mitt Romney's whole platform had really nothing that was different from George W. Bush other than let's not invade Iraq again. So, you know, considering that this is the only arrow in the GOP quiver, can the Democrats fight it? Or are they just going to be a pinata?
You got to break the arrow. You got to take their last piece of arsenal and use it against them, like they do things against us the same way we do it to them.
You would agree that Democrats have been playing defense on this? You'd agree that Democrats have been playing defense?
The strategy, I don't know, but I would say this. You know, it's like, say, okay, you don't want it, what do you want? And if you know, and then leave that big question mark there, because you got nothing. You're bringing us, you want to go back to, you know, you want to go back to the way it was before? Then say it. Make them say that. We want people to die in the streets.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think they got to get a lot of people to sign up so they can start broadcasting the success stories. Scott is calling from Wisconsin. I know a Scott in Wisconsin, but I don't think you're him. Governor Walker, is this you? Scott in Wisconsin, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Good morning. Scott, are you there? Scott, are you there? Hello? I'm new for the phones here. I don't think I'm getting it. Okay, Kathleen in Kentucky, you are on the Stephanie Miller Show. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hi.
Good morning, Kathleen.
How are you? Welcome. You're on the air.
Oh, okay. Thank you. Not only do I think you're one of the sexiest, smartest men on TV.
Oh, Kathleen, I'm sorry. Tony just began playing the music. We have to go to break. Can I put you on hold again and get to you as soon as we come out?
Sure.
We'll see you after the top of the hour, Kathleen, because if you're saying something nice about me, I want more people to hear it. So stick around. We'll be right back on the Stephanie Miller Show. We're going to run to all on that
day.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. I'm John Fugel saying, filling in for the great lady all morning, taking all y'all's calls at 1-800-STEPH-12. We're going to get to John Brennan and the CIA and Dianne Feinstein, but we're talking this morning with the great Carlos Alazraki about what the Democratic Party can do to try to make something happen for them in the 2014 midterms.
Use fear.
Use fear.
We've agreed on using fear.
Yeah, I agree with using fear. And free ringtones, that would help too.
Absolutely.
They offered free ringtones, that would do it. But Kathleen is calling us from Kentucky, which for my money is a very important state, because Kathleen, you're right in the heart of the voting against our own interest belt. Good morning. Welcome to the Stephanie Miller Show. Kathleen?
That is exactly why I am calling. I'll repeat my earlier comment because I want you to hear it a second time.
Okay.
Not only do I think you are the sexiest, best-looking man on TV, but also smart. The one question that has bugged me for years, I'd like to hear your answer to, is why the average, hardworking, poor, middle-class person always seems to vote against their better interests.
Well, keep in mind that I think the problem is that the people who vote against their own interest turn out more than the rest of the people. I think that, you know, the problem is not stupid turnout, it's low turnout. And you'll always find people willing to vote against their own interest because rich people pay Fox people to make middle class people blame poor people. And it works. And as Carlos has been saying for the last hour, you know, fear works too. It's a powerful motivator. But I think the real solution is not trying to, you know, de-brainwash those people. It's trying to get everybody else to show up and vote on Election Day, which should
but
be a
I
week.
But I'm a strong, strong liberal Democrat. Mm-hmm. And the reason I am is because of our platform and why anyone would vote Republican when they are against raising the minimum wage.
Absolutely.
They're against equal rights for all peoples. They are against the union, you know. In other words, if our party had that platform, I would change parties.
I think you're right, Kathleen, and I think you speak for millions, and I thank you for the call. But I do think there are selfish people who don't want a higher minimum wage, who don't want equality.
I'm going to have to raise my pizza 3 cents a slice now
because
I have to cover health care. Why not make 3 cents less profit?
I might make 3 cents less in profit for my mansion. That might cost me a couple of marble tiles.
If I might add, too, especially in the state of Kentucky, and I'm being semi-serious here, why not have the athletes and coaches, Rick Pitino and John Calipari of both the Wildcats and Louisville, do commercials for Affordable Care Act? These are athletes that are being exploited and are not making any wage. Certainly they would understand the benefits of buying a policy that they could use. They're under 26. They could live on their parents' policy.
Very smart. Very smart.
Who is more prominent than both the players of the Kentucky Wildcat and the Louisville Cardinal, I believe is the name of the team. But why not use those players? Why not somebody like Calipari and Pitino, who are super popular?
Yeah.
Speaking up.
And because the last time any politician tried to use athletes in commercials was Bill Bradley running against Gore 14 years ago.
Former New York Knick Bill
Bradley.
Former New
York, great man, came on my show, terrific guy. But I think you're right. I think, you know, deploying celebrities in general. I mean, people hear the ACA is bad from Fox News, from those famous conservative faces. Why not trot out a few actual people, you know, the real people with success stories, but also I'm not above trotting out celebrities to say why this is smart economically. It shaves millions off the deficit, you clowns. Andy in Pennsylvania has been on hold for a while. Andy, good morning. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. What can these Democrats do to not totally get shellacked in 2014?
Well, we need to make the people understand that we really don't have democracy in this country anymore, and a campaign should be based on the idea that we should restore democracy to America.
You talking Citizens United?
Yeah.
Well, that's later. Let me go first to the 2012 election,
mm-hmm.
where the Democrats, as a whole, for the whole House of Representatives, received 1 million more votes than the Republicans did.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The Republicans maintained control of the House of Representatives.
Yep.
Therefore, I say we do not have a democratically elected House of Representatives.
That's a fair point. I'd like to see the Democrats get into some creative gerrymandering to make Congress reflect what America looks like.
Yeah. Now, Citizens United, okay, we are a country where everybody, even every Republican politician, is going to say they believe in equal rights. I understand they're talking about equal rights for individuals.
Mm-hmm.
How about doling out the rights equally to the individuals?
What do you mean?
For example, Bill Gates has much more of a right to free speech than I do. I made $77,000 last year.
I think you mean he has the same right to free speech. He just has a lot more speech than you.
Yeah, but I just think Citizens United just steps on the right to free speech.
Hell yeah. Absolutely.
Okay, and they're purchasing elections. If you have money to put on 1,000 TV commercials that say I'm an idiot in the congressional district where you're running against me,
mm-hmm.
and I've only got money to put out 10 commercials that you're an idiot and maybe 10 commercials that I'm not,
mm-hmm.
okay, who are they going to believe? The guy with 1,000 commercials?
Exactly. Exactly. Well,
the guy with 1,000 commercials can lie all he wants, and a large number of people are going to believe him.
Andy, you are exactly right, and I thank you so much for the call. And the great irony, I think, Carlos, of Citizens United is when that began and Democrats flipped out and Republicans said, so what, it's freedom, you have money, that's speech, they should be allowed to use their money how they want.
Corporations are people, my friend.
Corporations are people, but Mr. Corporations are People, my friend, wound up buying the nomination for the GOP in 2012. You had guys that were considered much more true conservatives who couldn't compete because they didn't have Mitt's coffers. And so, ironically, because of that, a decidedly unelectable nominee took over the Republican Party. And I think you could make the argument, because irony is the one religion that'll never let you down,
mm-hmm.
that the first casualty of Citizens United was the Republican Party in 2012. And I can live with that irony because it's hilarious. Rich is calling us from Washington. Good morning, Rich. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Hey, how you doing?
Great. How are you?
Oh, not bad. Hey, we got to take the gloves off and start slapping these Republicans around with the facts.
With the facts or the fox?
The facts that the Republicans have been screwing around, wasting hundreds of millions of dollars on going nowhere, pointless legislation while people are unemployed, bridges are collapsing, roads mm-hmm. are crumbling, Daryl Issa's spent millions on political witch hunts. These are the kinds of ads we got to point out to people and then ask them, can you stand more of the same? Turn that fear factor around on the Republicans. Fear works. We can use it, too.
Who's gonna take the gloves off? I mean, you know that if the president does that, he'll be accused of being angry, which is code, or unpresidential, which is also code.
You're getting it black on.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we can use that at the congressional level. The president doesn't have to be angry. He can kick back, and we got to take it down to the congressional level right now for 14.
Yeah, I mean, I'd love to see George Soros just devote $1 billion of his fortune through Citizens United to just advertising progressive cause commercials on Fox News. I mean, you got to get the message out to people somehow if they're in the bubble.
Yeah, we just got to lay it out real simple. So, you know, just get rid of these namby-pamby feel-good ads, you know, or weepy-weepy. We just got to slap everybody with the facts, you know. Hey, Congress is wasting. Republicans in Congress are wasting our time and our money doing nothing while the country's falling apart and you're still unemployed.
In fairness, they've bravely voted to repeal Obamacare some 50 times and they've named a lot of buildings after Reagan. So I will not have you, sir, say they're doing nothing. You want them on the wall. Well, I think you're right, and I'd love to see the Democrats, you know, take the gloves off, because too often in my life, and I thank you for the call, the Democratic Party has just kind of been like Clark Kent without a phone booth. You know?
Look at this recent appointee that Obama wanted to the higher courts.
Well, that's just disgusting.
Seven Democrats came.
Seven Democrats, including Chris Coons from Delaware.
Even though Justice Roberts defended a murderer, Supreme Court Justice Roberts, Ferguson, I believe, is the murderer's name, even though John Adams defended two British soldiers in the so-called Boston Massacre and became president, yet somehow when an Obama appointee does his part to, I don't even think he defended him. He wrote, I don't know what the term for it is. He didn't actually defend somebody in court. He offered an opinion.
Well, what he did was, you know, he offered, it wasn't so much a defense of Mumia Abu-Jamal, what the case that they brought was that the jury in Mumia Abu-Jamal's case had been given inadequate sentencing guidelines,
right.
And as a result, he was given this death sentence when it wasn't fair, and guess what? The jury found him right, and they won the case. So they won the case, and if you oppose this guy just because he defended Mumia Abu-Jamal in this appeal and used the law, then you're saying that you don't believe that every American is entitled to a quality defense.
Every white American.
Well, ding, ding, Carlos. Ding, ding. Exactly right. If you believe in our justice system, if you believe that people are entitled to a defense, if you believe in the appellate system, which a lot of people don't, then you're just more or less saying, well, I don't really respect the Constitution at all. And for those seven Democrats to be cowered into this when
spineless,
they won. And I didn't hear outrage from any of these guys when Mumia Abu-Jamal's sentence was commuted to life in prison. And let me tell you, For my leftist friends, I don't believe Mumia Abu-Jamal is innocent per se. I do believe he deserves a new trial. And I would fight for him to get a new trial, because I think the original trial in that police officer's tragic murder was very screwy and shaky at best. I'm not one of these guys who says free Mumia. I'm one of the guys who says give the man a new trial with all the facts that have come to light since then. But yeah, you know, it didn't matter that nothing illegal happened. It didn't matter that the jury found them right. It just mattered that he loves a cop killer. Obama loves cop killers. It was so dishonest and manipulative. And again, when we talk about cowardly Democrats, that's exactly what we mean.
Yeah, they need to go to Oz, get their courage.
They need to go to Oz. Damn.
I'm not going to lose another election. I'm not going to lose another one.
Oh, I was thinking the prison soap opera, which would scare Democrats even more.
That one. Okay.
All right, we're going to be back in just a minute, taking your calls at 800-STEPH-12. And again, we're doing Democratic triage after Florida today. Do you think that what happened with Alex Sink is a bellwether for what's going to go down, or is it a special case and Democrats shouldn't be worried? It's a matter of getting the vote out. How are they going to do it? Give us a call. We'll be right back.
Wow, yes, yes, I love it.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
What are you doing? What are you? I asked you for U2. What are you playing?
I'll have U2 in at the 30.
The new U2 song is Dynamite.
Before I get, I want to do Faraway Dog for the dog Smith that so desperately wants to hear and needs to hear Faraway Dog.
And I do want to say, since you brought it up, we are today mourning Tony Sorrentino's dog, who passed away yesterday at the age of 13. Tony, I know how hard that is, and this is a show that loves animals, and you're a man that loves animals, and it means a lot to us that you'd come in and put a smile on our faces and work so hard in the face of such a loss, because some of the best people I've ever known have been dogs and cats.
Aww.
So thank you. I'm John Fugelsang. Good morning. This is the Stephanie Miller Show. I want to send a special birthday greeting to my little boy, Henry Jack, who turns 2 today.
Good morning.
He's celebrating with an ear infection, so he gets his second birthday and his first antibiotics. But I'm celebrating today the 2-year anniversary of not living with a pregnant person anymore, and it's wonderful. Yes.
Well, he is turning 2, and you're about to be deployed into hellland, my friend.
Oh, I've been in. Listen, this kid's 36 pounds at age 2. He's off the charts for height and weight. I'm raising this Leviathan baby, and I will tell you, it's already been hellish.
The demands will get more intense.
My brother's a shrink, and he actually says he's a family therapist, and he says that 2-year-olds and 3-year-olds actually have literally Neanderthal brains. They have the brain capacity that Neanderthal man had, and trying to reason with them is like reasoning with a caveman.
My almost 3-year-old has a Neanderthal manipulative brain.
Let me tell you what works with them, I find. iPads and sugar. That's it. That's all I really need.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. iPads and sugar.
iPad made of sugar is optimum.
Ooh, someone's going to start making that right now. Yeah. Hey, we're taking your calls all morning at the Stephanie Miller Show at 1-800-STEPH-12 to talk about what the Democratic Party can do after what happened yesterday in Florida to try and be competitive in the midterms, because it's all about getting the vote out, and the GOP's not going to have a problem with it. They have Obamacare smear and fear. But here's a bit of a good news, and this is something I think the Democratic Party could be talking about right now to get people excited to vote, shall we? From the New York Times, facing an economy where workers' wages have stagnated while corporate profits have taken off, President Obama will unveil a plan to force businesses to pay more overtime to millions of employees. On Thursday, he will order the Labor Department to require overtime pay for millions of fast food managers, loan officers, computer technicians, and others whose companies now classify as executive or professional to avoid paying overtime. Obama's move comes after Republicans in Congress have vowed to fight his proposal to raise the federal minimum wage. Business groups won a major victory in 2004 when they persuaded Bush to give them more freedom on exempting salaried workers. You want people to vote for you? You want people to be enthused? Do more for the middle class, and this is it. This is pro-capitalism. It's pro-American. It's patriotic. It's good for the economy. Because, rich folks, if y'all are hoarding all the money, no one's going to be going out there buying your products if we're all just eating PB&J all day and doing subsistence living. So I say, congratulations. My hat's off to you, President Barack Obama.
Way to go, Barack.
Right.
And even go further. Enact a law that would keep waitstaff from having to claim their tips. And you would gain an extra million people.
On their taxes, you mean?
On their taxes, yeah.
Yeah, that'd be great. Here,
I love that they have to claim that. It's like somebody said, thanks for your service. Here's a gift from me. Yeah. Ah, well, you've got to pay taxes on that gift.
Yeah, we get to pay you lower the minimum wage because you get all that money in tips to roll around in, while we give $600 billion to Exxon just for being special.
Right. Well, we should not call it a tip. We should call it a subsidy or an estate tax from your customer.
Mm-hmm.
This is not a tip. It is a subsidized estate tax.
That's a very good point. And, you know, most people don't even understand how that works.
Yeah.
You know, they call it the death tax to get middle-class people upset about it. Yeah. But it's still income if you didn't work for it, folks. That's the thing. And if you don't believe in an inheritance for rich people being taxed, that's income. So what you're standing up for, and this is the point I don't hear Democrats saying to Republicans at all, so you guys think people who work for their money should be taxed, but people who live off interest or inheritance who don't work for their money shouldn't be taxed. It's still income. You're just coddling the rich. I want to hear someone clobber the right wing with it. Let me tell you something else that's exciting. You're on this tour now. You're coming to Albuquerque, New Mexico,
yes,
with us in May to Pope Joy Hall. It's a great venue. Albuquerque is one of my favorite towns in the world. I've done,
yes,
theater festivals. I've done stand-up there. And right now, Paul is calling us from New Mexico. Paul, what do you think about election 2014? What can the Democrats do to try and get ahead of the Republican wave? Good morning.
Yeah. Hi, you guys. Democrats for 25 years here have been ignoring right-wing radio. They don't know what's being said on those stations. And nowadays, anyone with a new Mac can get download free transcription software,
mm-hmm,
that might work for that. There's also better stuff that might, you know, you could use some training with and get pretty good transcripts from. That way you can react before it gets out of hand, all those lies and stuff. The other thing is, many of our universities are supporting right-wing rock talk radio. There's a website, Universities for Rush Limbaugh, with a list of about 70 universities that broadcast their sports, rent their logos to 170 Limbaugh stations. The total may be closer to 40%.
And Rush Limbaugh hates higher education. That's the screwy thing.
Yeah,
he hates those. So you know, you can read, you elitist.
Yeah. So they're bringing in a little bit of money on the licensing rights for this radio component, and meanwhile costing a lot more in defunding public education, attacking teachers, professors, global warming denial, all that stuff. It's crazy that the Democrats and progressives ignore right-wing radio. It's the biggest mistake in history.
Well, I think it's easy to write them off and just say that they're in the bubble, and that's the Limbaugh supporters, and they're going to be that way. And I thank you so much for the call. We got to go to break. But I do think the Democrats mock the bubble at their own peril because, you know, the Republicans have a bubble. Democrats, mm-hmm, have everybody else. They have labor, they have minorities, they have women, they have working folks, and they have to try and corral people because the rest of the world's not in a bubble. Republicans may be small, but they're organized.
Yeah, there's a war being waged against evolution and science, and it's being waged.
Give us a call and tell us what you think after the break. 1-800-STEF-12. I'm John Fugelsang with the brilliant Carlos Ellis-Rocky. We'll be right back. You know, I actually wrote a letter to John Brennan, head of the CIA, to complain about all this surveillance and spying on our private emails, and he wrote back and said he already knew how I felt about it.
That's right.
Yeah.
God forbid anybody uses snail mail anymore.
Well, we'll be talking.
I'm sick and tired of getting spied on. Let me go to my Facebook.
I know, and that's hilarious, and made in China, by the way. That's my favorite thing, is people calling Obama a communist and typing it on their Max made in China. Mm-hmm. Hey, it's the Stephanie Miller Show. We're taking your calls all morning at 1-800-STEF-12, and we're asking people about what the Democratic Party can do to avoid yet another shellacking. But wait, hang on. We have a special caller on line 6. I can't believe it. Could it be? It's the one. It's the only. Star of international stage and screen, best known to millions from Mystery Science Theater 3000, a regular on this show whenever they let me have the mic, and one of the funniest, most inappropriate men in the world, it's TV's Frank, Frank Conniff. Good morning, sir. Welcome
morning,
to the
Frank.
Stephanie Miller Show.
Hey, John, how you doing?
Very good, Frank. How are you doing? Welcome. It's good to hear you.
I'm great. I'm honored to be on line 6.
Well, thank you. Line 6 is our celebrity call-in line, so yeah. I'm thrilled you're a part of it. Hey, Frank, you must have been really, really a big fan of how Chris Christie totally shifted things back to himself at CPAC this weekend and made it all about how he can win on a national level, and the crowd seemed to eat it up. I thought of you when I saw that.
Yeah, they were eating it up, and he was jealous. But, let's be fair, he is genuinely losing weight, Chris Christie is.
Yeah?
And that's really bumming me out, because now I'm only going to be able to joke about what an evil, corrupt politician he is.
Well, it's true, but I got to say, one thing I admire about you, Frank, is that you don't go for the low blow on Chris Christie's weight. You make it about policy, right? You talk about the things he does.
That's the absolute truth, and that's why, like, I never talk about how he changed things in New Jersey to the Olive Garden state.
No, that would be wrong. You can't do that.
And how when this whole scandal started, he dismissively said, "Let me eat cake."
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yes, and how when they said he would possibly be impeached, he said he would prefer to be impeached cobblers.
That's horrible. Horrible. I'm glad you don't do that. That's lowbrow, and I'm glad you don't wallow in that.
I don't do those kind of cheap jokes. True satire.
What other kind of, because you favor a sophisticated wit, right? I mean, you don't go for the cheap low blows.
So I try to never talk about the fact that the only same-sex union he approves of is the one between Ben and Sherry.
Yeah, I wouldn't mention that if I were you. I applaud you for not going there.
When he wants to be the only one to eat at the smorgasbord, it's a time for some traffic problems in the food line.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes.
It's wrong. It's wrong to do. I'm proud to be with you guys who don't go for the easy laugh.
The email used to be time for some digestive problems.
I didn't know that. Yeah. But I think a lot of people, there's nothing liberal about mocking Chris Christie's size. It's not cool. You can't do it.
It's a cheap shot.
It's a cheap shot.
You know, one of the reasons when I do stoop that low that I feel it's okay for me to do it is because I'm in such great physical shape myself.
Oh, I see. So you could call him the F word because you're the F word? Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I think that, I'm proud of liberals like you guys for not going for the easy Chris Christie joke. We have to stop calling him a big fat liar and call him a big boned liar. That's the right thing to do.
Yes, yeah, that's the respectful thing.
Hey, I don't want to say Chris Christie's fat, but he just got a job as Gardell's brother on Mike and Molly. Okay,
yeah, see,
folks, I don't want to call him
that. That would be wrong. That would be wrong to do. You guys underestimate Chris Christie at your peril. Believe me, liberals, it may look like he's down, but he can still climb any mountain with the aid of multiple Sherpas, but still, it can happen. So don't count the man.
He was, I don't know if you remember, he was actually an actor once. He was cast in Jake and the Fat Man, with William Conrad playing Jake. he's a large
nice.
Man at my point.
That's a joke that could end a marriage, Frank.
He's playing Canada. Well, by the way.
End my career.
Well, you know, and why does the Tea Party hate Chris Christie? It's because he worked with President Obama to help his hurricane-ravaged state before we knew he was actually skimming some of the money. But that's pure conjecture. I'm sure he'll be cleared.
At least he was walking in those commercials, trying to get some exercise when he was making those commercials.
Which we respect. And I got to say, that's not big government, those guys working together. That's good government. That's what we pay for. I give the Obama-Chris Christie alliance a 10, and not just because they resemble that number when standing side by side. Because that would be wrong. And that's a skinny joke about Obama, by the way. That's very
wrong. You know, it's weird that the George Washington Bridge is part of this scandal because he actually emulated George Washington. When he was a kid, he cut down a Cherry Garcia tree.
Imagine Chris Christie on the front of the boat crossing the Delaware.
you're stretching like Reed Richards from Fantastic Four for that joke, Frank. But I mean, and don't also keep in mind that he shrank the Jersey State economy. It was one of seven states whose economy shrank in 2011. He gave his own state lap band surgery, Frank. That's what he did.
Exactly.
He shrank the entire economy. Well, what else has been on your radar besides avoiding the lowbrow joke? Oh, and you had a great line about Chris Christie sitting around the house, by the way. Can we get to that one?
Oh, well, okay. I shouldn't say this, but when Chris Christie sits around the house, he really passes bills that hurt working people.
I agree. So what else has been on your radar, Frank? I know you're an astute student of politics and what's going on in America.
Well, I'm, you know, also as an alleged comedian, I was very, I've really been, I don't know if you guys have been talking about it, but I really have been enjoying the right wing's reaction to the Zach Galifianakis Obama sketch.
Oh, yes. Wasn't it scandalous of him to do that?
Yes.
He should have played piano at the Grand Ole Opry like Nixon and been more presidential.
Yes, and they said it for a president to do a comedy sketch was beneath the dignity of the office. And I'm sure there's lots of tape of Fox News people criticizing George W. Bush for doing jokes about weapons of mass destruction.
Do you remember that video?
Oh, under the chair, yeah.
Of the Iraq War, yeah.
They're what? Not. They're not under that chair.
It's so funny, because 4,000 soldiers died for a lie, and Bush is making a joke about it.
Yeah.
Right, and the entire Washington Press Corps was laughing at that.
So, what a low point. What a low point.
Certainly not beneath the dignity of a president to put on an Air Force suit with a fighter pilot helmet and land on an aircraft carrier. Mm-hmm. Hey, look at this Halloween costume.
But I think you're right, Frank. I love hearing this outrage that President Obama would do a video with Zach Galifianakis, because let's be honest, Ronald Reagan would never hang around with celebrities. He wouldn't do that at all.
No, exactly.
He made John Gavin ambassador of Luxembourg, a Hollywood actor.
Ronald Reagan, who did not fight in the war, rather made films for recruits.
Yes, but in fairness, Pasadena. Ronald Reagan said he fought in the war. Ronald Reagan said he was in uniform more than once when he was really in wardrobe. He really did.
Ronald
Reagan,
I
don't recall.
All in his defense, he was every bit the war hero as John Wayne was. Absolutely.
Well, what did you think of the president's video with Zach Galifianakis? I thought it was uncommonly well written, and the pacing was great. They threw away those lines, and it was so subtle. I was really impressed.
Yeah, I thought it was really hilarious and actually closer to real journalism than any Sunday morning talk show.
Because I know what a David Gregory fan you are.
Yeah, I don't know if you remember David Gregory at the White House Correspondents' Dinner. I saw it on C-SPAN. You could see him in the audience. He asked the waiter what the soup was. But he never found out what the entree was because he doesn't know how to ask follow-up questions.
Yeah, it's really true. I mean, adultery is always wrong, but if you're David Gregory's wife and you decide to have a fling, at least you know he's not going to ask you any inconvenient follow-up questions. Where were you, honey? Soccer practice. Okay, what's for dinner? There, it's the meet the press marriage.
I knew that the Republicans would react this way because in Ted Cruz's CPAC speech, he actually quoted Jay Leno, which proves that he has no sense of humor.
Oh!
Hey, you know what? That's my show to a younger guy, and it's, that's what happens, Frank. If you want to go ahead, I still have 57 cars. That doesn't hurt
you. I never touch my Tonight Show money. I don't say this very often, but
I've never once touched my tonight. Oh, I know there's starving, suffering people in America, but screw them, because I've never, that all those millions are in the bank collecting interest for me and Mavis. We don't have kids. We're just hoarding the money, and you're starving out there. But I will make all my money off of touring and buy more cars. By the way, I might not have a TV show, but here's my 700 cars in an airport hangar, and screw you, middle class. Sorry.
Yeah, God bless Jay Leno, but he's the Tea Party's favorite comedian.
Oh, I wouldn't go that far. Victoria Jackson is the Tea Party's favorite comedian, Frank. And Jay, to his credit, does make lots of Republican jokes. And I look forward to him being off the Tonight Show and getting a chance to be funny again.
Yeah.
He is a great stand-up. So, well, anything else on your radar, Frank? Anything else we should know about that, because you are my go-to source for serious reportage.
Well, that's a very sad statement right there.
Well, I'm a very sad man.
No, what have you guys been talking about all morning?
Well, we've been taking calls, and if you want to stick around, I'd like to take some calls, and you're welcome to join in, Frank, because we're asking people.
I'd be happy to.
Well, let's do it. We're asking folks what they think the Democratic Party can do to actually, you know, win some votes this election, or are they just going to sit there and be a pinata while the Republicans mobilize their base? What are you saying?
I'm sorry.
Tony's trying to talk to me, but you might as well just say it. What do you want to say?
Oh, so if you're going to take, remember to hit Frank twice so that he's locked before you take another caller.
Oh, so I have to hit.
We're going
to
lock you, Frank.
Okay, yeah, wrapping up. I'm locking you in.
Sorry, Frank.
So I
feel like
one more time or two times?
Yeah, one more time. Just one
we're going to have to lock you, Frank.
Okay, Frank, you're locked.
No, you can take another. Sorry.
So MASH.
Sorry about this.
And Paul is calling us from Seattle about what the Democrats can do to win. Paul, you are on the phone with Carlos Ellis Rocky and Frank Conniff. Good morning.
Hi. I think the Democrats need to put the Republicans on the defensive. To start with the health care, because I would guess that the average man or woman on the street can't list a single thing that the Republicans have suggested in terms of, you want to get rid of Obamacare? Okay, what's your plan? And they don't have one.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have a plan, so, you know, what would they suggest? I don't think it's worth it to keep trying to sell Obamacare, because, first of all, it's already law. Secondly,
yeah.
If people want to know about it, they'll find out about it. And like you said, yeah, we're just like a piano for them.
Paul, if I may, I would go a step beyond you. I would actually go radical on this, and I would call the Republicans who want to repeal the ACA socialists. If I was a Democrat, I would call them socialists, because what they want is not the free market solution of making people purchase insurance plans. No, they want uninsured folks to still show up at the emergency room and the local taxpayers pick up the tab. If you oppose this conservative health care law that Obama made law, this conservative idea cooked up by the Heritage Foundation, implemented by Governor Romney in Massachusetts, upheld by a GOP Supreme Court, if you're trying to repeal this, then you want to go back to what we had before, where taxpayers pick up the tab for the moochers. You Republicans are socialists.
Right.
I want to see a Democrat take the bull by the horns and do it. Do you think that would work, or would that be seen as too honest?
That's the way to go. Yeah, exactly. Because, you know, the one good thing is, whatever direction the direction we're going in, even if Obamacare is changed, and it will change, is going to still go in our direction. We're still headed towards single payer. We're not going back the other way unless the Republicans decide to drag us back the other way with the help of the voters.
Paul in Seattle, you win the radio today. And Frank, I think he makes very good points. Are you a fan of the ACA, Frank, or do you want to go back to the old way?
The old way? I love having no prospect of insurance whatsoever.
That's good.
And I would feel more comfortable if we just followed the Republican plan and just had no access to insurance for anybody. If everyone just got sick and died, it would be the most patriotic thing they could possibly do.
What is it that Alan Grayson said? Their plan was
die early.
Soon.
Yeah.
Die early.
It's true.
Yeah. And if they've seen me on stage, they know that I've lived up to that many times.
Albert Brooks, how did you die? On stage, like you.
Frederick is calling us from Massachusetts. I'm going to hit your button again, Frank, so you stay with us. No? Okay.
He's hitting one more time.
Okay, sorry.
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm new here.
Gotta have to hold you, Frank.
Some guys just don't know how to push the right button, but Frederick, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show with Carlos and Frank. Good morning.
Hi. John,
hi.
How are you doing?
Good, how are you? Mm-hmm.
Good. I was just calling to say, after we lost Kennedy, we don't have many choices out here on the East Coast, and that are more opposed to the Republicans' agenda.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody was mentioning that the other day, the charisma of somebody like, I'm assuming, well, obviously Ted Kennedy and obviously John F. Kennedy, somebody, a Democrat, not since Bill Clinton, and that was pretty recent, that we have lacked somebody with that type of charisma to to put forth the message that Obama has. Obama does not have that gift that either Kennedy or Clinton have to sell his own policy. That's why you needed Clinton at the convention to tell people about the Affordable Care Act.
I would say he has greater eloquence than JFK or Clinton, but I think you're right in terms of using charisma. The charisma to hit the middle class. But having said that, for Obama being so out of touch, he won the presidency twice. He must be pretty good at it.
And right, and also don't forget that a not-so-charismatic person, Lyndon Johnson, mm-hmm. the one who passed all that great legislation, the civil rights legislation. There's some people who think that Kennedy, had he lived, might not have been as successful at it as
That's
Johnson
true.
Was.
Yeah. My favorite argument, by the way, and Frederick from Massachusetts, Kennedy's home state, I thank you for the call. It's a great point. My favorite point is when you hear Republicans saying, well, JFK wanted to lower taxes. He lowered taxes. He lowered Eisenhower's taxes. Yeah, he lowered it from 90% to 70%. Mm-hmm. Now it's at 39%, mm-hmm. okay? And we're paying for that trickle-down right now because I'm still waiting for my trickle-down prize in the mail. So we got to go to break. Frank, can you stick with us for one more block?
If you'd like me to, I'd love to.
Well, I wouldn't like you to, but my parole officer said I had to, so that's how it's up.
Okay.
Okay, we'll be taking your calls when we come back. What are these Democrats going to do to not get whacked in November? We want to know your thoughts. 1-800-STEPH-12. We'll be right back.
She gets insulted by more right-wingers before 6 a.m. than most people do all day. It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey! Stephanie Miller.
I don't like her.
Is that the Romantics from Detroit, Michigan?
What I like about you.
With the left-handed drummer.
You don't get much of a fight, yeah?
And they sold this for a beer commercial, which is just a little bit creepy when you read into the lyrics. Hey, it's the Stephanie Miller Show. I'm John Fugelsang, joined by the brilliant and hilarious Carlos Alizraki.
Faraway dog for Smith. And good morning, Riley, if you're watching my daughter, who's embarrassed when I do that.
Oh, that's very good. Do it again. I like that.
Good morning, Riley. I thought you meant the whole thing.
Any sound you can't do, my God. It's really a pleasure having Carlos on the Sexy Liberal Tour because we launched it in Phoenix and we got to sneak a Latino into Arizona.
That's right.
I felt patriotic for that. We're also joined on the phones by the great Frank Canha. Frank, are you still with us? Do I have to press a button again? I'm sorry.
I can only do one impression, and that's depressed Frank Canha.
Yeah. How is depressed Frank Canha doing? What's new in Frank's world of depression?
I'm fine. I finally getting over my Christmas depression from 2005.
Oh, that's great. I'm glad to hear it. You do things to lift yourself out of depression. You read the paper, right?
If there were newspapers around still, I'd read them, absolutely.
You could just go to FOA Schwartz and dance on one of those ground pianos. And that'll lift you out of your depression.
You know, you call it depression. You call it depression. I call it home base. I want to get to a couple of calls before we go to what?
Remember, lock Frank. Before
we're going to hold
I have to lock
Frank.
I know. I'm not stupid, my God.
I'm going to lock it, Frank.
Tony. I'm
lock Frank.
Sorry, folks, if you're just tuning into Free Speech TV, shiny things confuse me. Let's go really quick to Judy in Chicago. Judy, you are on the Stephanie Miller Show with Carlos and Frank. Good morning.
Well, good morning, and thank you, gentlemen. I enjoy you, and I just think you're about the smartest thing I've ever listened to.
Well, God bless your low standards. Thank you.
But I would like to say that it's time for us Democrats to take the white gloves off. You know, you don't have to fight dirty. You just have to be, just keep pushing and be advertised a lot and be on the ground, out there pushing. I'm going to volunteer at the Democratic offices here in Lombard, where I live in Chicago, outside Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, the Affordable Care Act, these people that are running for office or whatever, and they want to back away from our president because they're afraid it's going to hurt them, it's hurting us and our party to do that because you're as much saying, well, you know, maybe I better not do this because it's not as good as they say
mm-hmm.
it is. We just got to be out there and fighting and backing everybody because these idiots keep voting against themselves, like this lady said earlier. I just don't get it myself.
Mm. Judy, I thank you for the call. I love that you're in Chicago because we're bringing Sexy Liberal there next month, and it's a town of fighters, Carlos.
Yeah, and I agree with it. Take the gloves off, but do it subtly. I think what the ACA needs is either a Carlos Alizraki, who represents direct auto insurance, or a flow. They need a flow, a little progressive-type health commercial that shows you how you can compare rates and save.
You're saying ACA needs to be like insurance companies.
Exactly.
With rookie commercials.
We're perfectly compliant compliant and accepting of the fact that we have to buy car insurance, and yet Republicans are. That's just the way it is. But if you make a poor person make a choice and make them have to purchase health insurance, somehow that's being communist.
One thing you can do to help the cause, of course, because it's Pledge Week, is to support Free Speech TV to see great shows like this, or Bill Press, or Tom Hartman, or Amy Goodman. You can go to 877-378-8669 to help support Free Speech TV and be part of a movement that's trying to take America back from the fascists. And I'm talking about people like you, Frank, the fighters out there in the trenches.
Oh, my God, we're on TV? I better put some clothes on.
Frank, thanks for calling in. It's always a pleasure to talk to you. Will you call us back on Friday?
I'd be delighted to. Thank you.
The great Frank Connick, everyone. We'll be joined by We're joined by British comedian Matt Kirshen in the next hour. You're staying, Carlos, right?
Absolutely.
Taking more of your calls on the Stephanie Miller Show. We're at 1-800-STEPH-12. Be right back.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
This is the Stephanie Miller Show. I am not Stephanie. Do not adjust your Free Speech TV sets. I'm John Fugelsang, filling in for the great lady all week while she and her mooks take a well-deserved break. It's a thrill to be here with the great Carlos Alazraki.
Thank you, John.
One of my favorite comedians and someone who's joined us, who's begun joining us on dates on the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour. We just played Fort Lauderdale 2 weekends ago. You were dynamite.
Real fun and real nice to meet the folks after the show. Just great people, man.
That's really the cool thing about doing the tour is for the folks who get the VIP tickets, we do the meet and greet afterwards and you get to meet, you know, all these terrific Americans and Steph heads and people you'd never normally get to meet, and they're all brilliant and sexy, and they come to these shows and they take iPhone pictures and post them on Twitter where I look wraith-like and like a paler than an albino mime, and the whole world can see.
Is that Hogwarts wreath wraith?
Yeah.
Wraith-like. And as you say, and what you had brought up earlier, is that people are so appreciative that this voice that they have is coming to join them in meeting like-minded people. They have this look on their face like, oh, we're so glad you're here. So
exactly. Well, that's why it's a great tour, and that's why, hey, Chicago Theater,
April 26th. That's right.
Carlos will be there. I'll be there. Stephanie will be there along with Jim Ward, and I think Chris Lavoie as well. We're trying on this tour, on this leg of the tour, to bring you a show that is like during Stephanie's set, sort of like seeing the radio show live on stage. And it's a lot of fun. Not as much fun as taking Suzanne's call from Ithaca, because, good Lord, Suzanne, you've been on hold for a long time. Thank you for your patience. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show.
You're welcome. I think I have a really great idea about how the Dems can fight back. And
finally.
We can take a page from
it's giving steroids to Harry Reid, right, so he gets the rage?
Yeah, okay. That's a great idea.
Former boxer.
I've got a better idea. Okay. Let's take their page and find us our Joe the Plumber. Think about it.
Mm-hmm.
Nancy the nurse.
Mm-hmm.
She has her own ACA plan. She can talk about it. She's charismatic, down to earth, middle class. We make her the Democrat celebrity.
Yeah.
She's from a real place. I know she's out there.
Mm-hmm.
And she can go to all the states where we need to win and just become our celebrity. Why not?
I think even better, why don't we take all the discarded Republican celebrities, all the fake working people like Harry and Louise from the anti-Hillary Clinton healthcare ad who now support Obamacare, Joe the plumber who's now taking a union job. Why don't we go to the discarded
version of them? Mm-hmm. How about that?
Exactly,
yeah.
Right.
The ACA plan, and we get them out there as our celebrities. We've got to play their game and do it better.
But is that going to help turnout? I mean, when you think about it,
have a person who's charismatic, like, say, you, going out to the states where we need to win, I really think so.
Democrats, they're afraid of me. They're all afraid of me. I talk about Jesus too much.
You're busy. But a woman like Nancy the nurse, as a symbol. And she's out there talking to everybody. I swear there's somebody like that out there. And that would help turn out, because she'd be very passionate about her plan, and she's the real thing. You know?
I
think we could use
Wendy
that.
Like Davis, Nancy the nurse. Kind of
exactly right.
There's something approached that during the Democratic convention last time around, where they brought the family out. Who had the daughter who needed health care. And that's very successful. It was very successful.
The problem is, I think, with the theory, and I like your theory, Suzanne, and I do thank you for the call, you're going to often have folks who are, they have health care, they've had health care, they've been covered, it's never been a concern for them. They would like their fellow neighbors to get health care. They're glad that some folks who aren't insured are now insured. But that might not be enough to drive them to the polls when the policy didn't actually help them. The ACA was there for uninsured people, not for people already insured.
Right.
And the Democratic Party, to their credit, is fighting for the middle class very hard on a number of fronts. And I think we need to go beyond, you know, defending the ACA. Again, I think they should just call them socialists for wanting to repeal it. Nothing against socialism. I'm just saying turn the insults against them and make that the S word for the Republican Party. They already love socialism for corporations.
They don't love Bernie Sanders, though. They don't love that kind of socialism.
No, they don't. And that's why, you know, I say get Bernie Sanders out there. I think Bernie,
he's awesome.
Bernie Sanders is a guy who fights for the middle class, who fights for conservative Americans a lot more than John Boehner and Fox News ever will. Carlos, Diane here. Diane in Princeton. She's been on hold for a long time.
Yeah, I'm here.
Hi. Well, you're welcome to the show.
Oh, great. Hey, I have an idea.
Let's hear it.
You know, the Democrats always have this short little mantras that they run around. How about give us 2 years?
Give us 2 years?
Yep, give us 2 years.
Well, I can tell you, I think the Republicans would respond, we've given you five, Obama, and that's what you'd hear
back. We have not had a majority, 62 senators, we have not had a majority in the House, and a president.
That's
true. Give us those 2 years.
That's true. And we were saying earlier in the break that, you know, you can't really say the Democrats had a 60-vote majority because they didn't. They had 59 votes and Joe Lieberman.
Yeah.
It wasn't a true filibuster-proof majority.
Give us those 2 years and focus on jobs and income, and everything else will follow.
Yep. Well, I think you're right. I mean, and I think if that happened, the Republicans would need the filibuster to block everything from happening, because if you had a filibuster-proof majority, if you had FDR numbers, and that's what we're talking about. People compare President Obama unfavorably to FDR, and it's not fair, because FDR did way more executive orders and had way more congressional support. Mm-hmm. But I do think that if they could sell us, they could sell the concept, give us the reins for real, it could work. But again, you got to inspire folks to get out there. And again, the GOP has the bubble, and the bubble is a minority, but they're motivated. The Democrats don't have a bubble. They have everyone else, and we need to get turnout.
The Democrats kind of want to spread everything out because everybody has their own little thing that they want to push. If we could just get together, use the mantra, go jobs, income, you know, and put that in the forefront, and every parade, everything, give us 2 years, give us 2 years.
Yep.
Diane, I think you're right, and I thank you for the call.
Giant billboards that say, we agree, government is too big, stay out of gay rights issues and reproductive rights.
And keep your government out of women's uteruses, too.
Yeah.
I mean, that's you know, again, how the Democrats can still be a punching bag on abortion. I don't understand it. It's just like, look, people who don't like women's reproductive rights, we get it, and you have every right to think abortion's a horrible thing. However, you will never end abortion. You will only end safe and legal abortion. And that means you, my pro-life friends, are the ones fighting for thousands of new Dr. Kermit Gosnells, because rich women will go to their doctors and non-rich women will go to back alleys.
But that's too complex, so let's put it into bumper sticker form. If you outlaw abortions, only outlaws, rich outlaws, will have abortions.
Yeah, I say, I've said on this show before, we don't have an abortion problem. We have an unwanted pregnancy problem with an abortion symptom. If we got serious as a culture about stopping the number of unwanted pregnancies, you'd see this problem go away, but then how would political parties
raise
money?
We don't like abortions, but we don't like gay marriage and or condoms being passed out for free.
Exactly.
And you and I are fathers. We don't take this lightly. We know the miracle of birth. We have children. We appreciate that. We also appreciate that you cannot deny somebody else's decision to make that choice.
Yeah, exactly. And that's why only 43% of people, according to Gallup, classify themselves as pro-choice, but 77% support abortion rights in all or some cases. And hey, isn't that what choice is all about? Call yourself what you want. Katie is calling from Massachusetts. Man, the phones are lighting up. Thank you, sexy liberals. And Katie agrees with something Carlos said earlier. Good morning, Katie.
Oh, absolutely. Fear. I think we need to make people afraid, because I'm afraid of more Republican control at all levels of the government. I mean, just based on what the GOP has actually been spending taxpayer money in legislative sessions, in the halls of our government, it can only end in more loss of rights. I mean, reproductive, health care rights, voting rights, civil rights. I mean, I think they need like more of a, you know, one of those TV ads that says, don't let this happen to you, you know, get this, you know, because you can get, you know.
Well, I think you're right. And if you look at
Gorilla, I think they need to take the repeal of the ACA to that level. If you make your neighbors lose health care, if you cut food stamps more, you're going to create a society that you will get mugged for a can of soup. yeah. in the grocery store. You know, I think that people need to be made afraid. Yeah. You know, the Republicans have been the biggest waste of government taxpayer money since 2000.
Yeah.
I mean, if you just took the nuts and bolts of keeping the lights on
yep.
when Congress is in session, just that money alone, and you put it against the 50 times they tried to repeal the ACA.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the flag-burning amendment.
It's incredible,
two days of caucus about that.
They do nothing. They do nothing but name buildings after Ronald Reagan and make it harder
for... They raise money.
Yeah, they raise money, and they're very good at it.
Shown an accounting of that. I would love to see a little ticker tape,
yep.
you know, showing how much that was and how much that was.
Katie, I think you're right, and I thank you for the call. And I'd like to see them go one step further. I'd like to see the Democrats go directly to the pro-life, I'm making air quotes, pro-life demographic and say the Republican Party has played you people for suckers for decades. The GOP, in the first 6 years of Bush's administration, controlled the White House, the House, and the Senate. They could have defunded Planned Parenthood day one if they wanted.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't, because abortion, the dirty secret is, abortion is the GOP's biggest fundraising tool, and that's why the Republican Party will never let it get illegal, because they can stop fleecing you and shaking you down for donations.
Yep.
We're getting some great tweets, by the way. My name's John Fugelsang, so you have to be able to spell that. But Aldous Tyler, who does a great radio show in Madison, says, the simple way the Dems can rally a wave of voters... have Obama kill Keystone XL. They have a Rod Dury says Dems could win in 2014 by supporting pot legalization mm-hmm. and initiatives on the ballot. The Dems won't do it, but it would bring out the youth vote. And I think he's got a point.
Absolutely. Yeah, a good special Fareed Zakaria was doing on pot on CNN. And people are getting more educated as to the benefits of the drug. And I found this out.
To the plant. It's not a drug until Pfizer makes it into a pill.
I found this out yesterday in a little clip. The United States owns a patent on the chemical contained in cannabis. It actually has THC. Medical benefits, and at the same time claims it has no medical benefits.
Oh, God. It's incredible. Well, you know, here's the thing. When you look at the numbers, I mean, Joe Biden spoke movingly about how, you know, they're on we're on the American people's side. We agree on the most issues. Barack Obama ran twice promising to raise taxes on the wealthiest Americans. He got elected on it twice. Al Gore did, too. The majority of Americans support abortion rights. The majority of Americans support marriage equality. The majority of Americans support decriminalizing cannabis, and medical cannabis has much higher poll numbers than the Democratic Party. I think that that's a wave that they need to get on before the libertarians own it completely.
Yeah, not only is it effective, it's right. It is the right thing.
It is right. I mean, this is a plant that Washington grew at Mount Vernon. This is a plant that I once went to the Huntington Gardens here, the Botanical Gardens in L.A., to see an exhibition of George Washington artifacts.
Mm-hmm.
They had this traveling display of things he really owned, and it was amazing. You know, you get to see his clothes and his books and his pens. And they had his surveyor's diary from his farm at Mount Vernon, and it actually said that he went to visit his hemp plants mm-hmm. and didn't get there in time to separate the males from the females.
Mm-hmm.
And I lived in L.A. for 10 years. I know a lot of guys who grow this stuff and sell into pharmacies. And what that means is, you know, the male plants have these balls on them that will pop, and they will make the female plants unsuitable to have the stuff you smoke on the top of it.
Mm-hmm.
So George Washington was lamenting that he didn't get there in time to save the fun part of the plant. Jefferson grew hemp. Jefferson helped smuggle rare hemp seeds out of China. Ben Franklin started our first colonial printing press using hemp paper. Back then, it was as American as apple pie, and everyone knew that if you smoked the top part of the plant, you'd want to eat a lot of apple pie.
Mm-hmm.
But in colonial days, it was used as a painkiller, because back then, the biggest drug problem was the same as now, alcohol.
Yeah, and athletes are using pot as painkillers. NFL players are in support of even Roger Goodell is considering it, because they don't want to be addicted like Brett Favre was to Vicodin.
Oh, it's awful. And Vicodin's an opiate. Vicodin, you know, you're taking heroin that way. I mean, you're, you know, from Bronze Age man sucking the sap out of poppy seeds directly to Rush Limbaugh being busted for oxy in an airport. It's a long, long history of the drug war began over opium, over Chinese people who were smoking imported opium in San Francisco in the 1870s. You know, the drug war is nothing new. And again, as Ron Paul said, if we legalize this, are you going to start doing heroin tomorrow?
How about legalizing the purchase of marijuana by putting like a waiting period on it, a 7-day wait and background checks?
Well, yeah, because it's not safe like guns. We should do that. But again, we want to know what all y'all think. So we'll be taking more of your calls. Look at them light up. And then you can call about pot, too. We welcome libertarians here. And let's get some right-wing trolls to call us as well. It's the Stephanie Miller Show, 800-STEPH-12. We will be right back.
Very interesting, but stupid.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
In my ongoing battle to make this show even whiter, I thought, let's bring in a British comedian. And since people think Carlos is white as it is, but I'm really, really happy to welcome our next guest who's going to join us and field calls for the remainder of the show. One of my favorite guys. I got to do a Comedy Nation show with this gentleman a few months ago in L.A. And are you doing the show on Friday?
I am, yes.
Okay, we're doing a show Friday night in Santa Monica with Comedy Nation that if you're in the L.A. area, you got to come and see. We'll be talking about it more in the days to come. But one of the funniest fellas I know in L.A. and in America in general, which is very rude because he's British, Matt Kirsch. Welcome to the Stephanie Miller Show.
Thank you very much for having me.
Thank you. You know, we're talking about American politics, and I thought, what better than to have someone from the country America broke up with 240 years ago?
It's still a sore point. We're still a little bit upset about it.
I try to break up with a British person every July 4th to keep it real.
You lost your biggest colony.
Yeah, we still sort of walk past with some of the other colonies, just sort of, I don't care. Look.
Yeah, Falklands.
Look who we've got.
My dad was just came back from the Falklands, an RG in the Falklands.
Really?
Or the Malvinas, as they still like to call them. Right, Natan? Yeah. Las Malvinas, las Islas Malvinas.
We still make a big play of being happy with it. You know,
we've got
Gibraltar.
Speak German, so I guess you have to be happy with it.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. So it all evens out. Matt, what's your take on the current state of the American political system? Because we've been talking with the fabulous Stephanie Miller listeners all day about the Democratic Party and are they going to just be a punching bag. To me, the Democratic Party sometimes, at its worst, is like one of those S&M slaves who forgot his safe word and just keeps getting pummeled and pummeled.
It almost feels like they don't play dirty enough. Like, that's partly the problem. I think that's always the problem when you sort of see the liberal wing of any political thing, because it's a ideology that's, at least in theory, based on fairness.
Mm-hmm.
They're like, well, this is how things are, but it could be like that, and this is how things are. And then the Republicans, who just don't seem to care, can then just come in and go, you did this! I'm like, no, I didn't.
Now, this isn't a problem in the UK because you have only intelligent people in Parliament, and I know that because they all have British accents.
Right, exactly. I love it serves me well because people think I'm smart over here, which is lovely, but
you have no idea how... You're short.
If you're a dumb British person, just come to America and we'll think you're smart.
The Democrats like that. No, but
right.
We were just talking about the what the liberals are missing. You're saying they are playing too fair. They're missing that John Lennon who says, no, you stupid freaking wanker and you're wrong. That anger is missing from the left.
I completely agree.
But I think they might still be saved by the fact that the Republicans seem to be still playing to the crazy wing so much.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Seem to be.
Well, because it's worked so far. They're not going to win the White House with it, but I think they're giving up on the White House for the next several years, and they're just going to focus on getting as many Republicans into the House as possible, and they're doing a good job.
To block anything and to just slow everything down.
And they, again, you know, as has been pointed out, Democrats got a million more votes in 2012, but Republicans picked up seats because they've been doing the dirty work behind the scenes.
Yeah, right. Republicans, a new definition for block party.
Well, one of our nobody one says to me on Twitter, people have been punching themselves waiting for Obama to actually lose that cool prez stuff, get angry and fight back. But of course, then he's the angry black man. He's not presidential.
Yeah, and then if they have a woman president, then she's the angry woman.
Mm-hmm.
The emotional woman.
Which Sean Hannity tried on Hillary Clinton after the Benghazi hearings. So why so emotional? Why so unhinged? You know, it's all code word.
And then if she doesn't, then why so cold? Cold, yeah. Heartless.
Oh, so icy.
Icy woman.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but that's true.
We need a Michelle Malkin type.
Yes.
She's not angry at all.
Someone who's graceful and gentle and loves all people. Hey, Matt, let's take some calls because I want to get some more of the Stephanie viewers on here, and I would like to get your astute, erudite British perspective on how America can avoid being Somalia. So, Judy, you're calling from my hometown, New York. Good morning. What are your ideas for how the Democrats can avoid getting shellacked?
Good morning, John. Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning. You're on with Matt Kirshen and Carlos.
I'm watching white lumpy rain coming down.
Oh, is it started?
In L.A.
Okay. We got about a minute, Judy. What's the point you want to make?
I have a very good idea for trying to herd these cats they call Republicans.
Uh-huh.
Let's put them all on an island, okay, with me. I have 16 grandchildren and 4 great-grandchildren.
Wow.
I know how to wield the whip.
Okay. So you're going to flog them on an island, you're saying?
Oh, I'd like to do more than that. Trust me.
There are private fetish resorts that you can do that already.
There's anything rattling in
there. Well, I like your idea, Judy. I thank you for the call. I think they should just have a cage match to the death while they're all wearing Reagan masks. That's what we're going to see in 2016 anyway. Hey, we're taking your calls when we come back with Matt Kirshen and Carlos Ellis-Rocky. This is The Stephanie Miller Show. Boys, don't cry. Boys, don't cry. You know why boys don't cry? Because if you're in The Cure, it makes your mascara run. That's actually why that song was written.
It's really smart. I hadn't realized it was a makeup tip.
It's actually very deep.
I was
going
to go with a Sandusky joke, but...
Wow. If you're just tuning in, yes, I'm glad that the Today Show gave Jerry Sandusky's wife a chance to come on and call rape victims liars. It's the Stephanie Miller Show. I'm John Fugelsang, filling in for the great lady all morning, joined by two of my favorite comics here in the L of A, the wonderful Carlos Ellis-Rocky on the Sexy Liberal Tour, and Matt Kirshen, who has the most uncanny fake British accent of anyone in L.A.
It's spot on. Did I do that right?
Only imagine how many birds you pull with that. Oh. It's brilliant. We're taking your calls all morning at 800-STEPH-12. Brian McHugh writes to my Facebook page, which is called the John Fugelsang page, the insurance companies say they've had to cancel anywhere from 5 to 7 million health care policies because of ACA. So why aren't we upset that all these customers had such substandard coverage?
Mm-hmm.
It's a very good point. It's like you canceled my crappy, unsustainable insurance plan, and the right wing is just going on and you know, defending insurance companies. How it's can like Democrats be losing a battle against people who defend insurance companies?
It's almost like saying they shut down McDonald's school lunch program to feed these kids at elementary schools. They shut it down.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's a good thing.
Yeah.
And also, how has a right-wing policy managed to be rebranded as a left-wing disaster?
Exactly. We've talked about it all morning.
That's what we were talking about a second ago with Republicans playing dirty. I don't know. That is the most amazing, astonishing bit of doublethink, twisting words. Like, that's what screwed it for Romney, but somehow no one seems to have remembered that.
Mm-hmm.
That Romney, all the way through his election, one of the things that made it so difficult for him to argue was the fact that he had to pretend that the exact law that he had put into place in Massachusetts,
yes.
He was
supporting,
it was good for Massachusetts but bad for the country. It's good for us, but he was talking about it the way parents talk to their kids about booze.
He had a halfway decent
argument. Oh, good for me. You don't want it.
Decent argument. I'll defend Mitt Romney on this.
Oh, yeah.
He said it should be the states should decide, and he didn't push it well enough. I think he would have persuaded more Republicans if he said the states should decide what they want. But you're exactly right. The great irony of 2012 was that a health care mandate was Mitt Romney's pre-existing condition. Dope! So,
but even saying the states should decide, like, is it a good idea or is it a bad idea?
You're from England. You come from a place where people live in ghettos because you have socialized healthcare and it's wrecked your whole country's economy, right?
I'm living in a country at the moment where the conservative government is trying to change things to America. Like, they're currently trying to sell off bits of the NHS to private companies. It's really upsetting to watch it happen. It's amazing to see, because even the Affordable Care Act, even if you have health insurance, like I watched, my girlfriend was ill earlier in the year, and she has health insurance through her work.
Mm-hmm.
She has a decent policy, and she's still having to make decisions about, well, I probably need to have this scan, but if I do, I'm still paying off the previous scan. Because even if you have health insurance, you still have copays and you still have deductibles, and you still end up in debt if you're ill.
You're exactly right. And, you know, we're the only country in the world that has the number one cause of bankruptcy, inability to pay healthcare costs. Our other capitalist allies with evil socialist healthcare don't have this. And I say to my right-wing friends, why don't Americans deserve the same kind of coverage as Israel, as England, as Germany? Why do we have to have this middleman insurance company that's running a rigged game where the sicker you are, the more chance they have to make a buck off it?
And you still have, like, Britain still has health insurance.
Yeah.
Australia and whatever, but we have...
And rich people will always afford better insurance. They'll always get better
care.
The way
it works in the NHS in Britain, if you fall ill, you will always be treated. But the less urgent your condition, the longer the waiting time. But if you have private health insurance, you jump the line, you get to stay in a private hospital, you get like a private ward. It's just, it's like paying for first-class treatment.
Meaning exactly. Everyone's covered.
Yeah.
Wow, what a concept.
But there's still the safety net of everyone will get treated. If you have a heart attack, someone will deal with that.
It's actually
the same doctors, it's just slightly nicer facilities.
It's actually conservative impetus. It will force people to get richer to afford better policies then.
Mm-hmm.
It's what the conservatives want.
Pick
yourself up by the bootstraps, get a better job, and work, and get that insurance. Capitalism.
In the same way, in America, there's public schools, but rich people still send their kids to the private schools. That's still...
It's the same comparison I was going to make. Believing that a public option will hurt private insurance companies is like believing community college hurts the Ivy League. And Kathy is calling us from Michigan. Kathy, I understand you're a fan of the Affordable Care Act. Why is that when it's so proven to be horrible and it's failed and people are dying in the streets and there's cannibalism now because of it? Kathy, how can you support the ACA?
Well, John, I've been a fan of yours for the last 4 years, and we really enjoyed your show.
So you're insane. That's why you support it. Okay. Well, thank you.
No, here we go. You said something to the effect that, you know, that the Affordable Care Act is for people that are uninsured, not people currently having policies.
And that's only half true, I realize.
Yeah, okay, because my policies used to cost, I have a twin brother. We are both in retail, and, of course, same age, all that sort of stuff. No pre-existing conditions other than the fact I was female.
Mm.
And now my policy costs the same as his does. Isn't that strange?
Wow. So you're saying that you've saved money on the ACA, and that's money you can use to pump into our economy?
Yeah. And the other thing is, if people currently are uninsured, once they sign up, your automobile insurance will go down if you notify them that you now have health coverage because they're covering you under, you know, if you don't have a health care policy, you're paying more for your automobile insurance.
Oh, you are so sexy. Would you say that one more time? I want you to say that one more time. You can save money on your auto insurance by having health insurance?
Yes, because the policy, if you are uninsured, is already figuring if you have an accident, they're going to be liable to cover your health care costs. And that's not the case if you have a health care policy. That becomes primary, and then if there's something that isn't covered, they all come in behind and they'll pick up the difference.
Matt?
See, here's what I don't think is fair. Kathy's twin brother is having to subsidize the ovaries she chose to have.
I know. Exactly. That's what I've been saying for years.
Kathy, thank you so much. What show did you see me do in Minnesota?
No, Traverse City.
Oh,
I'm
Traverse
City.
Oh, at the TED Talk. Okay, right on.
Yeah,
I mean, that one. That was...
And, you know, we can do the zip line. They've added more stuff. It's great, you know.
Well,
come
I was also
up,
there
we'll
for...
The
I was, Michael Moore does a great comedy festival I did there last year as well, too.
Yes, that's what I'm... Yeah, a couple years ago we saw you.
Oh, well, thank you so much, Kathy. It's a pleasure to take your call. Thanks for calling
You know what,
in.
Matt? Turn the zip line into the voting line. That'll get the Democrats out faster, and the process will much more quickly.
Very good point.
Zip line, voting line.
Herb is calling us from North Carolina. But, you know, if you had a free zip line, people would show up to vote. That's how you bring in young people.
That's right.
Herb, you're from North Carolina, where my family lives. Welcome to the show.
I'm a big fan of yours.
Thank you, sir. Thank you. I'm a big fan.
I think that the Democrats ought to come back with quick sound bites that attack the Republicans for their stupid positions on health care.
Mm-hmm.
As an example, the Republicans are for pre-existing condition denial, and they keep hammering the message mm-hmm. with millions of dollars of ads,
mm-hmm.
the way the Republicans do against with the same kind of sound bites. I'd like to hear what you guys think about that.
I want the Democratic Party to just hire me to write memes for them all day that can go on Facebook, because I feel like they're walking around in clown shoes and they're bringing a knife to a nuke fight. I really think that they need to get punchier with their language, because everyone knows who Frank Luntz is. He's the evil genius who makes up these mm-hmm. BS terms like job creators. And I thank you for the call, Herb. You're exactly right. But who's that on the Democratic side? Who's the one generating the memes and the slogans and the catchphrases?
To put it in song terms, we need to accentuate the negative to win this election.
I think you're right. I mean, what's your take on the Democrats as a foreigner interloping on our shores?
Well, again, I think it just comes to that attention to fairness, which was sort of like that they are no good at playing dirty. You see it with Congress when the Republicans manage to hold up votes and then claim mm-hmm. that the Democrats are the ones doing it, and mm-hmm. they cannot get that message across. They're going, you guys are cheating!
Well, because no one's going to use the lie word. No one's going to say you're being lied to. And, yeah. and I think the way Democrats win votes, seriously, is go right to the heart of the enemy territory and make an appeal to social conservatives. I want to see Barack Obama saying, Republicans who aren't millionaires, I'm going to tell you why you should vote Democrat this year. And even though he won't convert most of them, the independents will hear it. And that's who you're going mm-hmm. for anyway. Let me see. We've got Kim calling from Ohio. Kim, you're calling to disagree with Carlos Alazraki, and it's about time someone wasn't a flunky for this guy.
Well, I just think fear is like the Republicans' game,
mm-hmm.
and I don't think we need to be playing the Republicans' game.
Mm-hmm.
What worked for us in 2012 was when, you know, the Republicans were trying to shut down African-American and other people's, mm-hmm. especially in Democratic areas, right to vote. Where they were trying to suppress the vote
yes.
in Ohio and Florida and a bunch of different states, mm-hmm. Pennsylvania. And them trying to take away our vote ticked us off. So, and we stood in line for 6, 12, 15 mm-hmm. hours because we were going to vote blankety-blanket,
mm-hmm.
you know. And I think...
You were going to vote against the guys who made it hard for you to vote.
Yeah.
And are making
it
harder.
So I think exposing their underhanded stuff with trying to suppress women's right to reproductive
mm-hmm.
choices, exposing their suppression of the vote and things like that, and playing upon the injustice of it, which is really strong in Democratic people because we tend to be more intelligent, is the way to go.
She's
Here
right.
is what you do to stupid people.
We exactly. Don't thank you for the call, Kim, from Ohio. Thank
we
you
do
very
not
much.
Need to use fear to attract the enlightened. We're using fear to draw the unenlightened from the right over to the left, and then they can be enlightened, and at which point we can stop using the fear.
Well, I think I understand what you just said. But
fear
yeah.
is the net we get to use to get them on the boat, and then once we get them on the boat, we don't have to whack them on the head.
We've
anymore.
Secretly replaced their fear with new enlightenment, with flavor crystals.
There you go.
Yeah. Well, speaking of enlightenment, this is the point in the show where I mentioned that we are in the midst of a pledge drive for Free Speech TV. So if y'all enjoy having a non-corporate news channel, news discussion channel, if you guys enjoying having a station like this that nobody owns, a station where you can get alternative programming that's not corporate media, where you can talk about anything, not just a list of topics. If you enjoy shows like Stephanie Miller, Tom Hartman, Amy Goodman, the greatest journalist in the world, the great Bill Press, Ring of Fire, then what are you doing? What are you doing? You got to support Free Speech TV, and you can call 877-378-8669 to make a donation or go to freespeech.org. And for my money, you know, I go to the UK and I watch British news discussion shows, and I'm shocked by the intelligence. I'm shocked by the fact that nothing's off limits. I'm shocked by the fact of how entertaining those shows are. And I don't really see a lot of American counterpoints to what the BBC has in terms of smart political discussion, which is why I'm happy to, even though I'm just a scab this week on the Steph Show, stand up for Free Speech TV.
Well, the BBC has the advantage that it's funded by the license fee, so it's not enthralled to commercials.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So there's no commercial breaks, and there's no sponsors who are able to who say, I don't want you. That looks a bit gay.
Is
and
it as
some of our people don't like gay things, so let's not have that. And that's a bit...
Is it as cravenly ratings-driven in the UK as it is here?
You know,
because that that's what dumbs it down.
It still is to an extent, and for some reason, the BBC, as of the last 20 or so years... has had some kind of policy where it has some responsibility, particularly on BBC One, to stay neck and neck with like ITV and with the commercial channels for ratings. So there is still, there's absolute trash on the BBC as well, but they do have the advantage that they can fund really high quality things as well without necessarily worrying about whether 10 million people are going to watch it.
And again, it's trash with British accents, which impresses us mouth-breathing Americans.
So
again,
I am classy. I'm better than all of you.
Support Free Speech TV at 877-378-8669 or go to freespeech.org. And we'll be back still taking your calls for the final home stretch of the Stephanie Miller Show. Stick around.
It's not radio. It's Stephanie Miller.
Stephanie Miller.
I'm guessing, Tony, you don't realize the irony that we began this show talking about Jerry Sandusky and his unspeakable sins against young boys. And then you play this song by Gary Glitter. Tastefully done, Tony. tastefully done.
That's what I do. What I
For
do.
Those who don't know, Gary Glitter went to Thailand and did things that men shouldn't do. Hey, it's the Stephanie Miller Show, and on that cheery note, I'm John Fugelsang filling in all morning, and I want to thank Carlos Alizraki and Matt Kirshen for joining me today. It's been a blast. We do have a few minutes left. Carlos, where can the folks follow you and your brilliant work?
Follow me on my Facebook page. There's also a fan page with a picture of Garcia if you can't join my regular page. I promise to update my website, carlosalizraki.com, and on Twitter.
I'm re-updating my website, and I'm trying to, but we were talking in the break, I'm trying to get an album out, because we did the Sexy Liberal album 3 years ago, but that wasn't mine. I produced it, I edited it, but I'm trying to get my own out this year.
Yeah, get your full...
Because I'm made of free time. I know I have to. I have to. But I'm lazy and I'm a drug addict and I'm a sloth. So that happens. Matt Kirshen, where can the folks follow you and your fake British accent?
Well, online you don't get the full accent, but I try to type with, I'll put U's in color and that kind of thing.
I put umlauts in mine just to show girls how rough I can be.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow, you do the full Motorhead spelling?
Oh, yeah. Fugelsang.
So, I'm Matt Kirshen on everything, so Twitter/Matt Kirshen, Facebook/Matt Kirshen, MattKirshen.com. You'll get the spelling wrong, but if you Google something close to it, it'll suggest me. and I do a podcast called Probably Science, where we, myself and other comics, go through the week in science news incompetently. So that's Probably Science.
Podcast.
I would love to have you both on the podcast.
Baking powder and vinegar.
Hey,
a little medicine.
If you want to say Toxic Box on Twitter, right, says, my heart goes out to Tony about his dog. I completely sympathize with him, and we join you in grieving your beautiful dog. I respect any man.
But she's 13, so come on.
Let me just say, I respect a man who's man enough to love an animal.
That's what real manhood everything. Is about.
Underrated. Great dogs are underrated.
Yeah,
unconditional love.
Yep. We do have a few minutes left. I want to go to Dale, who's calling from San Mateo. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Dale, what you want to talk about?
Good morning, guys. I have a question for Felipe the screwdriver.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, Felipe. Yeah. That's right. You have kids. I watch Handy Manny.
Hola. As an Argentinian, I'd like to know your opinion of Argentinians. Cristina Kirchner, the second first lady or elected president of Argentina, the Pope and the Bachelor Juan Pablo. Thank you.
The Pope seems to Pope Francisco seems to be the most progressive Pope we've had in a long time. So Kirchner,
who's lasted more than 60 days. Yeah.
Yeah, Kirchner, I'm not too familiar with, but it's very progressive of Argentina to elect a female president.
Yeah, I think so.
Especially in Latin America, whereas Nathan can testify more than I. He's a true Argentinian, born there. I was born in New York via my parents, who are from Buenos Aires. I'm very proud of what the Argentinians are doing, and they might even take that into the sports world and win the World Cup this year if Messi can stop throwing up.
So do you think it's amazing? I think to me that the new Pope is considered this incredible liberal, incredibly progressive, because it's such a relative thing. Like he's pro gay rights. Well, he basically said his position on gay rights is sort of. I don't want to see it, but it happens.
Well, let me defend him for a second, because when Argentina legalized marriage equality well before America, a heavily Catholic country, this Pope didn't support it when he was Archbishop, but he did support civil unions. He went on the record for that, which is unheard of for an Archbishop to do. And yeah, he hasn't actually changed any policies yet, but when he came out and said, and I grew up extremely Catholic, I don't know if you know my background, but we had open casket reunions. When he came out and said that if someone is gay and they're a good person, who am I to judge them? That's not changing a policy, but that's changing hearts and minds, and it's huge. And this Pope sucks on women. He sucks on women's issues. I'm sorry. I like him a lot.
Well, all of religion does.
The more conservative your religion is, yeah, but there's plenty of sects in the single church where women have much more respect than the Catholic faith gives them.
Episcopalians have women
The
priests.
Anglicans are ahead of us on female priests. It's embarrassing.
My mom was one.
But this Pope, I will say that he had, and you know, you need to have married priests. You need to get over the stigma of divorce. It's prehistoric. It's wrong. Divorce used to, you know, marriage used to be there to protect women, and now we have divorce to protect women who are in bad situations. But he's reforming the Vatican Bank. They've been laundering money for the mob. He is changing policies institutionally, and I think that even more important, he is changing hearts, and that's why I want to buy him a food taster. I don't know why the caller related that to The Bachelor. I just want to say I woke up in a country yesterday where people were debating whether The Bachelor finale tainted the integrity of the entire franchise.
Oh, well, The Bachelor's from Venezuela. The caller was relating it to Felipe, who's actually probably a Mexican screwdriver on Handy Manny. And they just like to classify all, just like all Brits, like, oh, you're all British.
Yes.
No, we're subdivided.
You're one big brown morass, aren't you? Yeah. Well, Matt, any final thoughts?
Yeah, you need to get yourself a monarchy.
We're working on it. We have celebrities. We're halfway there.
Yeah, it's it just makes things better. It's a much safer, fairer system. Because it's an unfair system.
Mm-hmm.
It's an unfair system, but yeah. Americans think they're going to be president one day.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you grew up thinking. Whereas we know we will never be king, which makes us angry and resentful, and that's why
we here's my final thought on
my
that.
My daughter's a princess, and she will be.
200 years ago, we had a war with England to get away from inherited power,
yep.
And that's why I can't wait to see George Bush's son or Ron Paul's son take on Bill Clinton's wife yep. for the White House. Hey, it's been a pleasure all day. Thank you, Matt Kirsch and Tony Sorrentino. Everyone at Free Speech TV, donate to them. The great Carlos Alazraki, who is playing Chicago with me on the 26th and in Albuquerque in May. And we thank you. Tomorrow, I'm joined for the full 3 hours by Jackie Schechner and comedian Greg Proops. It's going to be brilliant. You don't want to miss it. See you tomorrow on The Steph Show.